Good Thursday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Boy, today is going to be a gorgeous day. I don't need Dean to tell me it's the pick day of the week. Absolutely beautiful. We are looking for sunshine today, 76 for our high temp. Our winds will be out of the south, southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour, and that makes for a lovely start to the downtown street fair in Fargo. It kicks off today. Over 100,000 people expected to attend the event, which runs through Saturday. New safety measures are in place at this year's downtown street fair. New safety barriers have been put up in multiple locations. Bollards were purchased in January to prevent potential vehicle attacks during large public gatherings. Downtown Street Fair is now in its 49th year. Street Fair runs today and tomorrow from 10 a.m. until 9 p.m. and Saturday from 10 to 5. There's more than 200 vendors who will be offering unique handmade goods, crafts, as well as lots of great food down there. A Moorhead man's in custody after a threatening phone call forced a lockdown at a Fargo hospital yesterday morning. Essentia Health employees alerted police just after 7:30 after receiving the call. Fargo officers traced the threat to a Moorhead home. 57-year-old Jerome Lampley was arrested with the help of Moorhead police and is now in the Clay County Jail. He is facing terrorizing charges. No injuries were reported, and that lockdown was later lifted. Illegal immigrants believed to be threats to public security and safety are being targeted in Grand Forks. The operations are typically enforced against individuals with criminal records. Six suspected illegal immigrants were arrested earlier this month. U.S. Border Patrol says information provided by residents plays a significant role in connection with successful arrests and deportations. Governor Kelly Armstrong was in Washington, D.C., testifying before Congress about infrastructure funding. The former congressman spoke before a Senate panel about the need at the state level to maintain funding and to streamline the permitting process for projects to save money and avoid delays. Armstrong was invited by Senator Kevin Cramer. Meanwhile, Governor Armstrong is applauding President Trump for signing a bill related to fentanyl. The Halt Fentanyl Act elevates fentanyl to a Schedule I drug similar to heroin. Armstrong attended the bill signing ceremony at the White House. He says fentanyl is killing North Dakotans statewide, and the law will close off dangerous loopholes that can be exploited by traffickers. Minnesota Senator Tina Smith was admitted to the hospital yesterday after a health scare at the Capitol. Her staff says she wasn't feeling well and went to the Capitol physician, who sent her to the hospital for a closer look. She was held overnight for observation. No word yet on exactly what's going on. A new energy project in northeastern South Dakota got the go-ahead and could change how ethanol is made. The State Public Utilities Commission approved a special electricity rate for Otter Tail Power to support Powit Biorefinery Plant in Big Stone City and its new partner, Antora. Otter Tail Power is seeking approval from regulators in North Dakota and Minnesota. And a man convicted of killing his parents and younger siblings with an axe in Rochester, Minnesota in 1988 is set to be released from prison. David Brom committed the crimes when he was 16. He was sentenced to life in prison, but a state law that took effect last year removes life sentences for juvenile offenders. Brom will be moved to a halfway house in the Twin Cities on July 29th. Time for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jace Denman.
Morning, Vaughn.
Morning, Jace. How are you?
I'm here.
A little sleepy. Morning came early?
Nah, not as bad as yesterday.
You got cat fur. Oh, your little fuzzy thing fell kind of back behind things, and so I dug it out for you. Sorry, I didn't notice the lint on it.
It's not lint. It's more like dust, but dust. Who's keeping track, right?
You'll be fine. If you start sneezing, I'll bless you and carry on.
Let's see. Let's start off the Wolves. Their first guaranteed four games at Summer League went about as good as they could have. Yesterday, they were without Terrence Shannon Jr. They were playing without him. He's shown basically everything that he needs to show, really.
Is that why they didn't play him?
Yeah, he scored 20 points, 24, and 24, and I forget what his rebounds and assists are. But it's one of those things where he showed everything he needed to show. There wasn't much more he could show. So without a guy who was averaging probably close to almost 23 points a game in their lineup, they were down by as many as 16 points to the Phoenix Suns. I turned the game on late. They'd been trailing most of the game, but you know Watch out for Hot Rob. Dillingham came through in the fourth quarter.
Nice.
He ended the game with 23 points. Leonard Miller had 22. And the Minnesota Timberwolves are now 4-0 in Summer League. They should have one more game after all of the, I don't even know how you want to term it, the regularly scheduled games. Once all of them are done, they'll be matched up against somebody else. And potentially the Timberwolves, based on their win-loss record and the how much they've outscored their opponent, you know, maybe they get to play for the quote-unquote Summer League championship. We'll have to wait and see how that works.
When does NBA regular season start? Is it like September?
I don't remember if we actually have an official game at the end of September or if it's like 1st of October, because it used to be like at the end of October, but it seems like it's maybe closer to the middle of October these days. Training camp will be in September. Preseason starts sometime after that.
Oh, this is 2024. I thought I found the answer. It said October 22nd, so probably sometime in
October. It's around there at some point in time like that, yes. Minnesota Wild, they have released their regular season schedule for all of its games. Yesterday, Minnesota Wild opened up the 25-26 campaign with a game at St. Louis on October 9th. The Wild have their home opener against the Columbus Blue Jackets 2 days later, and they end the season at home against Anaheim on April 14th. Single-game tickets will go on sale later this summer. Minnesota United, they were out in L.A., I believe. No, I guess they were at home, excuse me. But they had their four-match point streak snapped with a 1-0 loss to the to LAFC at Allianz Field. The Loons had just three shots on target and losing effort. Minnesota is in third place in the Western Conference with 40 points. United visit Portland and take on the Timbers on Saturday. I don't know why that story would choke me up. Minnesota Lynx got off to a fast start during a 79-66 win over the Phoenix Mercury at Target Center. They outscored Phoenix 21-10 in the first quarter and led the rest of the way. Caitlin McBride led the Lynx with 18 points in the victory. Minnesota Lynx are now 20-4 on the season. And
they're good. I haven't locked into them, but they are good.
They get to play Chicago again on Tuesday, which, I mean, they've already played them twice.
I mean, it's my least like. Is that the least like team, do you think? Or
It's my least like team.
Mainly one.
Based on her actions over the years.
Angel Reese we're talking about.
And basically how everybody's supposed to think she's just the greatest. And, I mean, she's supposedly trademarked the term me bounds because she misses so many shots and she gets her own rebound. I mean, that's great and all, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Just the way she acts. And for some, I know there's a story out there. You might have to Google it that. Robert Griffin III made some comments about her, and supposedly Shaquille O'Neal said that he would punch Robert in the face for those type of comments if he said anything. So, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, if we didn't actually know Angel, maybe we'd like her more as a person, but based on her attitude and like she's supposed to be this awesome, awesome player, and we're just like,
yeah.
I mean, that I've seen people on the internet make highlight reels of her failures on the court, and it's like, okay, we're just gonna give everybody the signal. Clear everybody out. I'm gonna go 1-on-1 against this person. Then she loses the ball, and the other team goes the other way for a layup. So
I don't seem to see much good sportsmanship from her.
No, and the Minnesota Twins, they've got one more day off before starting the unofficial second half of the season. They return to action tomorrow night with a game against the Rockies. Minnesota is 3.5 games out of the final wild card spot with a 47-49 record. Tomorrow's game starts at 7:40, and I was trying to do two things at once because I'm trying to find out how the Redhawks did last night, if they had a game. I forget if they had a game.
You can figure that out.
Okay.
There was also some stormy weather in Wisconsin. Missed the Twin Cities Metro, but Wisconsin had at least 5 reported tornado touchdowns. I saw reports of 5 to 7 inches of rain yesterday across Wisconsin, and we were lucky we did not see any of that. Today's going to be a lovely day, 76 for our high temp. Wonderful start to the downtown street fair in Fargo. Winds will be south-southeast, 5 to 10. 56 are overnight low. Tomorrow, scattered showers and thunder showers throughout the day. 71 for the high. South-southeast winds, 10 to 15. Saturday, we could see some smoke return as the winds shift out of the north-northeast. It'll be partly sunny. 79 for the high and up to 83, partly sunny on Sunday. Right now in Fargo-Moorhead, we have clear skies, 49 degrees at our WDAY radio studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the north at 5. Some areas seeing much lower temperatures than that this morning, but a little cool off from what we had.
The Redhawks continue their streak against the Monarchs. They win again last night, 4-2. Redhawks are now 32-30 on the season, so. I believe they got back-to-back wins on that doubleheader day on Tuesday with a makeup game in there. So they play today. They've got a game, I think, at noon today. So they have a little getaway game today. And like I said, Redhawks beat the Monarchs 4-2 last night. Jake Dykoff got the win, and Garrett Alexander picked up his, I believe, 31st save, unless that's their jersey number. Seems like a lot of saves for only 32 wins. So, yeah, that's probably number 31. Garrett Alexander got the save in that one. So, good job by the Redhawks.
There you go. 5:11, we're going to get your national news in now from ABC. Then a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. 5:17, welcome in. Bonnie Amistadi, Jay Stenman, and you. You're the friends part of Bonnie and Friends. The rest of the crew will be in later. Well, Wysocki, maybe he'll show up at 6. Ken Duffy will have your WDAY radio news. And big game, James McCarty. With your WDAY Radio Sports, rounding out the cast of characters here on Bonnie and Friends. What is the craftiest thing you can make? Somebody's going to come up with craft beer. I just know it. 701.
Probably a crafty pass on the basketball course. Am I right, guys? Dropping dime.
There you go. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Things. Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. What's the craftiest thing you can make? Love to hear your responses. We will be walking on sunshine today. Pick day of the week. Absolutely. Gorgeous, which is spectacular for the start of the downtown street fair in Fargo. Not too hot, just a perfect sunny day, not windy. 76 for the high, winds south southeast 5 to 10 miles an hour. I'm imagining it's going to be super busy down there. And again, the downtown street fair runs today and tomorrow from 10 to 9, Saturday 10 to 5. Go browse, go shop, eat lots.
Yeah, go Browse. Score to the game winner. Wait, we're not talking about sports anymore?
No, not sports. We're out of sports mode. I like to look at the stuff, and I like to shop, and I, you know, but truthfully, I love the food.
Well, yeah.
Same with the fair. If I go to the fair, the food's my priority.
I had dinner a bit early last night, and I had something I haven't had in a long time. I had some pierogies. Now, granted, they're store-bought ones. They're not homemade ones.
You know what?
One.
Some of the store-bought ones are actually okay.
It's the Mrs. T's one.
Mrs. T's are very good. They're not the same as homemade, but they're actually very good.
The interesting thing about them, though, was on the back of it, because I don't know.
Did you read the label? They're a little salty.
No, I did not. Why would I do that and ruin my enjoyment last night?
I thought you were turning things over here, and you're going to start reading labels to be healthier.
I do most of the time, but this was a one-time thing I'm having programmed, although I do have some leftovers. But anyway. No, I looked at the bottom of the bag, and I looked at the different ways you can prepare them.
Oh, boil them, fry them.
Yeah, there was air fry them, there was bake them, there was grill them or something. I mean, basically, you just cook them any which way you want to, which to me, I think you still have to boil them first to get the pasta portion done. Then after that, you could fry them or grill them or whatever, but that's my opinion, just because I think that would make it proper, you know, like it would be cooked through. But there was little kind of blurbs on the bottom of, like, it seemed like there was a dozen different ways you can make them. But I usually prefer to boil them.
You can do however you want to do them. And sodium content, 29% of your sodium needs, 4 of them. How many did you eat? 12-ish or more? 16?
Let's 701-293-9000. No, but I had those. And then, of course, last night, then somebody made a quick trip to Dollar Tree. So had some Crunch and Munch last night. Haven't had that in a long time.
I haven't had that in forever.
My taste buds are so much so that my wife got herself the buttered toffee flavor and got me the caramel. I can't really tell the difference in taste.
The yellow bug. What was Crunchy Munch versus Fiddle Faddle. Remember
Fiddle? Oh, yeah. Fiddle.
Was that a different brand?
Yeah, Fiddle Faddle was more like, I think that was like the cheaper version of Crunch and Munch. Maybe, was it Fiddle Faddle?
I don't know.
Whatever one was at Dollar Tree, she got a box of these two different flavors. I couldn't tell the difference between
Fiddle
the two.
Fiddle Faddle.
I don't remember. It was Fiddle Faddle.
They're showing them all together. It's had peanuts in it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's along the same Crunch and Munch.
Mm-hmm.
Fiddle Faddle.
Yeah, they're the same thing, basically, just different brands. I think I always thought the Fiddle Faddle was the cheaper version of it compared to Crunch and Munch.
I wonder if they're showing them all in the same place, so I'm wondering if they're made by the same company.
I don't know, you'd have to look.
Crunch and Munch. I haven't had that. There's something about that. It's like that, the buttery taste. You can really it's artificial butter, but the butter got brought out with the sugar.
Yeah, and I mean the only thing I will say about it is that like it's supposed to have like little peanuts, like little chunks of peanuts, you know, in with the popcorn and the caramel.
Those are always at the bottom of the box.
Yeah, that was because I kept eating it, going, "Am I going to get any peanuts?" Because this one first clump had a peanut in it for sure. And then I was like, "Are there any peanuts?" And then of course I had all the little stuff at the bottom of the bag, and you're like, "Oh, there they are. They all fell off."
I was thinking a while ago about making caramel corn. I've got a recipe that uses marshmallows, so it's softer.
Oh,
yeah, I haven't made it in forever.
So you use it's almost like you're taking. Not Rice Krispies because you're using popcorn, but you mix the marshmallows and then you put the like caramel over that.
Yep, melted brown sugar and marshmallows, and I think there's some vanilla in there. It's a pretty simple recipe, but I bet I haven't made it since my kids were little. But I was thinking one day, it's like I should make that.
Yeah, I'll sample it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And back to pierogies too, because I make them maybe twice a year. And we have and there's different ways to make them. Some people put cottage cheese in them. My family doesn't. Ours is just. You mash potatoes.
Yep.
You don't put the milk in the butter. It's just you mash potatoes. And then sharp cheddar. And we always use Cracker Barrel because, in my mind, it's the absolute best for those. So you grate that in there. And then we cut up small chunks of ham that we put in there. And that's the filling that we use. Put them in the dumpling. You got to cool the dough or the potato mixture. Put them in the dumpling, and then you form them, and then we put them on a cookie sheet and throw them in the freezer until they set, and then once they're hard, then we put them in a plastic bag, and then just whenever you want some, you want half a bag, you just take out half a bag, put them in the boiling water. Yeah. It takes about, I don't know, 7 minutes or something like that.
I mean,
those are really good, though.
Yeah, and I think even that Mrs. T store-bought brand, I think they do have
decent.
A couple varieties of the filling. This one was like potato and cheddar cheese, so, but yeah, I mean... If, you know, I made some pasta sauce and put it over because that's just how I usually like them.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I mean, when you tested one to make sure that the dough part, you know, the pasta part was done, I mean, then you can really taste the potato and the cheese coming through, which is kind of a nice thing. But then when you have it with the pasta sauce, then to some extent it just becomes pasta. Although I was slightly offended at my wife, which she's sleeping right now.
Whatever.
She's every
family member under the bus at one
time.
She's
like, oh, did you make the lemon ravioli or lemon chicken or whatever it was? And I'm like, ew, no. And I'm like, you can tell a pierogi, it's that half moon shape, right? And I was just like, no. These are pierogies.
Looks nothing like ravioli.
Exactly. I was slightly offended by that whole exchange.
I'm with you. What's the craftiest thing you can make? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn. 701-293-9000. Email studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Justine dropped a picture. She is making... loop yarn blankets. Now she's working on an American flag. She's working on the stars right now. One of her past students asked her to make it for it. That is, look at this. It's absolutely beautiful.
That's incredible.
So it's a blanket. Okay. It's so pretty too. Like you could frame, you know, depending on the size of it too, you could actually frame something like that.
Definitely.
Janet too. She makes these absolute beautiful wreaths, and she has shared them a number of times, different ones that she has done, and she's posted them on her Facebook page.
Oh, geez.
These are like elaborate wreaths.
Yeah, I don't have the time or the patience or mainly the talent to do something like that. Yeah, holy cow.
It does take a lot of patience.
That looks the one that she posted a picture of, that looks kind of Thanksgiving-ish, but because it got the little pumpkins in there.
She said a fall wreath for sale if anybody's interested. Yeah. Janet makes these beautiful wreaths. Yeah, there's little white pumpkins.
Go check out the Facebook page. She's got a nice picture of it, and that's very elaborate.
Yeah, she does wonderful work. I was never that good. But my friend and I, before I had kids and then
Not me and my friend?
My friend and I. We would get together like on Fridays and we would do crafting projects and then Bailey came along. And so we did it for a little bit and then it kind of went by the wayside. Mm-hmm. But we just, I don't know where she got the ideas from, but she'd see ideas somewhere. And we do a hot glue gun. So I can do things with a hot glue gun.
There's a lot of people can do things with a hot glue gun.
But I remember at one point we bought these big hats, like straw hats, mm-hmm. and then we glued flowers on it. And then it was like a wall hanging or whatever. I had it in my porch, I guess, for a number of years. And then we did like Mod Podge. We'd like get zigzag scissors and what's like paste or glue or whatever. And we'd get like, I don't know, like one time I did a goose and I gave it to my mom. You take material and then you cut it with the zigzag scissors and then you Mod Podged it and you'd color the eyes with markers. I had a teddy bear that forever, I think we just brought it to one of the thrift stores like maybe a month ago. And mm-hmm. I did that prior to Bailey. So that thing was like 30 years old. So if it's something with a hot glue gun, I can do that kind of stuff. I used to do cross stitch when I was teenager or mm-hmm. in college. I haven't made a wedding sampler with a cute little character bride and groom. My friends Andre and Al got married, and I made it for them the date they got married.
Mm-hmm.
And it was super cute. And I still have one. My sister made me one similar to it. Mine's still hanging on my bedroom wall that I got when we got married. Cross stitch is, if I can do cross stitch, that's a pretty easy skill. You just make X's.
Yeah. I think someone had made one. I think my grandmother, for the longest time, she had this little cross stitch thing, and it ended up having all the grandkids on it. Mm-hmm. It had, like, I don't know, probably first and middle name or something like that, then your birth date. And so that it went from my cousin Carrie, the oldest, and then went all the way around for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember who made that. I don't remember if my grandma just did that or what. And then I think, man, I don't even remember what it was. I feel bad, though. I thought my cousin Vaughn, I thought Vonnie made me something cross-stitch-wise, like for our wedding or something like that. And I don't remember. I mean,
my mom's done really, really elaborate things. She had this. My mom is so crafty, though, too. Mm-hmm. She can make any kind of, like, floral decor. She'll take a vase or a bowl.
Yeah.
And she's got fresh flowers almost every day. She'll be switching things out. But she did a cross-stitch thing, and it was this big. It was like a cornucopia, and it was overflowing with flowers. And she made it for her mom. And then when her mom died, she took it back. And mm-hmm. so she's had it hanging in the house. So that thing, I remember my mom making it. That thing's like 50 years old, and it's just beautiful because it's got every imaginable color used. You use embroidery yarn for that, but that's beautiful. I did a bunch of Christmas decorations, too. I bought some, like, I don't know, they were like gold circular frames that you could snap them apart and then put something in them.
Yeah.
So, and then you could hang them up on the Christmas tree. I made a number of cross-stitch things, and I know my mom still hangs them on her tree. She still has two of the ones that I made like 30-some years ago. So,
yeah.
I do have some skills and some patience with certain things. I just can't wait in lines.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not very good about lines. What's the craftiest thing you can make? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. If you want to weigh in on that, 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Yeah, some people are like, and I'm like that too, probably the craftiest thing is something that I would cook. Barb put down food. And there is a knack to that. Some people cannot cook at all. And for some of us, it comes really easy, and we like to do it.
Yeah, I can see the wheels turning in the times like my oldest tries to make something, and like I said, her biggest problem is that she makes something like cookies or a cake or something, and she has about half of the recipe like
learned. Then she takes a weird twist or something.
And then she takes a weird twist or doesn't really finish the recipe, so then it doesn't quite turn out and she can't figure out why. And for me, it's like I know I kind of at least know what flavors go together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to throw in blueberries into your pasta or something. You know what I mean?
But she would.
I mean, she might. I don't know. She might use jam for something. You're like, why are you putting that in there? Oh, because I thought it would be sweet. You know, cream cheese and this apricot jam. And you're like, okay, whatever. But, I mean, sometimes you just it does kind of come natural, but it also comes with repetition.
Mm-hmm.
So anything, if you want to be crafty or make something, a lot of times it takes time and practice.
That's true.
And that's the thing that, I mean, even myself, I get real frustrated with, because you want to be able to try something new and be able to get it right away. Mm-hmm. You want to be a natural at whatever it is. And the fact is, you're not. And that's why, for a lot of us, it's kind of like, it's hard to learn a new skill because you want to be able to get it sooner rather than later. You don't want to spend the months and years it takes to become good at something, like, you know, say making pierogies or whatever. I mean, would I be able to make a batch of your pierogies? Probably if I had the instructions and it took, you know, plenty of time
would
or whatever.
Would they look good? Would they fall apart? More than likely, because you really have to work that dough to get it to press. I mean, even some of mine still come open, and I've been making them for 50 years. That's another thing, the Chewy Louies that I make at Christmas time that I bring in and I give to family and friends or whatever. Those took me, and I learned from my older sister who made cookies and candies, and that was her side hustle. Yep. She sold them and stuff. And I only made them at Christmas time. I bet it took me 5 to 6 years to be good at it. Janae asked me for the recipe. I gave it to Janae. She goes, oh my God, they look terrible. They just all spread out. I'm like, yup. It's a learning process, because you have to realize you got to knock off the extra caramel and then you got to press the nuts out, and then you got to make sure you dip off the extra chocolate that you're dipping them in. So it's definitely, that was a learning curve, and now I make them and they're all pretty consistent.
And the whole genre, if you will, Bonnie, of crafty stuff, I mean, that kind of depends on what your idea of that is, because there are certain things that I can do that I find almost to some extent somewhat, you know, not really relaxing, but kind of enjoyable. Like, I had to patch a hole in the sheetrock down in the bathroom a number of times because water would splatter on this one spot and it got wet and you need to replace the sheetrock. So I've done that a number of times, and in a sense have learned how to do the mud and the taping and stuff.
I mean, working with your hands and fixing things,
It's not, you know, it's not super crafty, like, hey, he's making a quilt or anything kind of craft like that. But, you know, fixing holes with sheetrock, you know, my dad and I, we fixed my fence, you know, last month or whatever it was. We've done stuff like that. My dad and I, you know, we framed out where the new fireplace was going in our house when we still had to finish the downstairs. You know, we did all the sheetrocking. So we do kind of carpentry type of things, which isn't exactly crafty, but it's still a learned skill.
And it's definitely handy.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's things like that I can do. But, you know, as far as arts and crafts, nah, not so much.
I'll bring in my hot glue gun. I think I have two of them. We'll have craft hour. You, me, and Jimmy will take little breaks, and we'll work on crafts.
I know we've definitely got some craft or glue gun at home.
Probably do.
Yeah.
What's the craftiest thing you can make? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Go to the phone lines, find our friend Polly in Idaho. Good morning to you, Polly.
Good morning, you two.
What's your craft? What are you nifty at?
Well, there for a while, I was really into kind of refurbishing old wooden golf clubs.
Like for people to display on their wall, right? You probably, once you refurbish them, you probably didn't want to golf with them.
No, you probably could, because they're made out of persimmon wood, but they were very old, and if they weren't kept well, and there was a lot of freezing and a lot of heat, there's no telling what would happen if you hit it once and it just exploded. You never can tell. So there goes a piece of art, is the way I looked at them.
Yeah, those are really cool. My brother-in-law got a hole in one, I don't know, must have been about 20 years ago. His wife has the ball and the certificate in a little glass case, a shadow box. And then he's got, like you said, some of those old wooden clubs that he's kind of got them crossed over the top of it and stuff. And those are pretty neat to have.
Yeah, it's not just the posters, but I have other golf clubs as well that I didn't give away. I gave away to a young man that was 25 years of age, getting into golf, really enjoying it, and I tried to give to him something that maybe he'll figure out that it's very valuable someday.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, hopefully.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and I didn't exactly give him a dollar amount, but it was given to me 45 years ago.
Oh, my.
And so it was, at that time, it was a $2,000 driver. And that was, you know, you're talking a lot of money back then.
Yeah. Are some of those old clubs, if you were to look on eBay or whatever, are some of those old clubs worth good money?
You know, I haven't gotten on there to do that.
I'll have to look.
You know, they're fun to collect because you never know what you're going to get when you go into the thrift store or somebody's garage sale or somebody's yard sale. You never know what's going to be in there. So it's always a treasure hunt, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Very cool. Well, Polly, you have yourself a wonderful day today.
You too.
Thank you. Yeah, I see some old ones. And these aren't even fixed up or anything. Some old ones, $450 for a set of them on eBay. Another set for $260, and they're not even like you know, polished or anything like that. They're just good to go. So I suppose you can, and somebody just has an old driver for $275. You just have to find the right customer if you're selling stuff like that. Somebody willing to pay the price.
Yeah, my mom's got an old driver as well.
Does she?
Yeah, his name's Dad.
Ron is not that old.
You walked right into that one.
What is the craftiest thing you can make? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your news and sports from ABC. Thursday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio 546. Get up and get after it. It is going to be an absolutely gorgeous day today. We are looking for sunshine, 76 for our high temp. Maybe play hooky today. Already we see.
Oh, now you tell me to play hooky.
Not you. You have to be here at least till 8:30. After that, I could care less what you do for the rest of the day.
I got other things to do while I'm here.
We're already seeing the TV stations set up downtown. Of course, the downtown street fair begins today. Rocky Schneider heads up the downtown community partnership. He does a show here live on WDAY Radio on Thursdays at 11. So he's going to be broadcasting live from down there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Thursday when he does it.
Or... yes, it is today.
Okay, why is JT not here on Friday? He had to do something Friday. He told me he was going to the street
fair
Friday.
He probably had enough of this place. Just saying.
I thought he told me he was setting up for the street fair Friday.
Yeah, I thought that was today, but maybe.
I don't know. One of the days Rocky's, whatever day Rocky is on the air. I thought it was Thursdays.
I think it's Thursday. I forget who's on Friday. Wednesday's John M. Monday's Mariah. Tuesday is the... I forget now. I'm usually gone by then.
Anyway, Rocky will be doing his show today or tomorrow, whatever day it is. We'll probably get a memo from the
Don't
you two know what's going on?
Yeah, well, James knows. He'll be here in a few minutes.
Well, that's true because James runs that show.
Yeah.
So TV stations are down there. All the vendors are set up, and it's going to be fun down there. Downtown Street Fair, one of the highlights of summer here in the Fargo-Moorhead area. 49 years strong. That's a long run. It's just great.
What's the other thing that's 49 years? The 49th anniversary of not just the Red River Valley Street Fair.
I don't know.
Was it the Red River Valley Fair? 49 years?
I don't know. It's not sticking in my craw that
one. We just said something like in the last week or so was the 49th. The next year will be the 50th, and I can't remember if it was just the street fair or if it was there was another event that had been hitting 49 years this year.
I don't know. I saw Disneyland. What's that? 70 years?
Yeah, that's the one in California. First one.
Then I've only been to that one. I've never been to Disney World. We went to Disneyland as a little kid.
We went to Disney World before. There's all the adult stuff that they built there.
Yeah. Lines, crowds, heat, people.
Yeah, waiting in line for 45 minutes, and then you get on the, you go to the quote-unquote attraction. It's not a ride because it's not an amusement park. And you're like, I waited 45 minutes for that?
Yeah. Granted, Disneyland we went to, we had relatives in Modesto, California, so we went one summer. My dad always took a couple weeks off from the mines and packed all 10 of us, including Grandma Amistadi, in the station wagon and the pop-up camper, and we'd take vacation. Well, that year we decided that we were going to go visit our relatives in Modesto, stopped at Disneyland. They actually met us there. I was only 4 years old, but my dad had a video camera, so he shot a lot of footage and stuff. But from what I recall, it wasn't that busy, and there weren't long lines back in the day. I remember sitting and watching the teacups. I don't even know if they have that. It was like this big castle with the teacups. Mm-hmm. It's a Wonderful World or whatever the heck it was called. I don't know. I remember being on a little train ride. Like, I remember things. I remember a lot of stuff, actually, starting when I was three or four years old.
Yeah.
But I do remember it being at Disneyland. And we did not wait in any lines way back then. And maybe it wasn't the biggest of thing back in the days, or maybe people couldn't afford it, but if 10 of us could afford to go, it couldn't have been that much money. Nowadays, it's like you've got to take out a loan. It's expensive. I see families, say, of family of four or five, like from here, that'll go, and you're dropping about 10 grand.
Ugh.
8 to 10 grand is what I've heard friends who have taken their kids there, probably like in the past, say, 10 years.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
You
got to
pay for your tickets, and then you got to pay for your hotel and your food and everything. Well, when you go to those things, your prices are all elevated too.
Yeah, I mean, anytime there's a place like that, it will be twice. You know, it could be potentially twice as expensive. I know that back in the day when we went to Disney World. Now, granted, this was all part of a great family vacation we took. You know, before my younger brother went off to college, so we were older, but you know, we stayed at a pretty cheap hotel outside of the park, which you can stay inside the park, you know, and
for
it's
a lot more
money, expensive. But
you
back
can have
in
breakfast or something with Disney princesses, you pay more for that.
But like back in 95, then, I mean, I think that it was still probably at least $30 a head to get into each one of those. Like one day's Epcot Center, one day's, I don't know, the actual Disney World, whatever, the happiest place on earth. And then there's a third day, which was, I don't know, they had it divided up in each day. I think each of those are like $30-$35 a piece back then.
I think it's like $125, maybe up to $200 for tickets. Now, you can get deals, you know, certain places.
Mm-hmm. I just remember like when we talked the other day, because obviously there's the fires around the Grand Canyon, and we went there when we were in high school, and I remember when we stopped at a McDonald's around the Grand Canyon to get something to eat, because we figured, okay, because we're on a budget. It's a family of five back in the 80s, right? So we stop at a McDonald's, and this was the time period, Bonnie. Remember when McDonald's hamburgers used to be, maybe a dollar at the most for the hamburgers, maybe in the 80s? I mean, they used to be like 59 cents for a burger and 69 cents for a cheeseburger, right? And this might have been the time where they were still just a buck or whatever a piece. But we walked in, and we saw basic hamburgers for like $2.50. And we're like, my dad looks at the prices of everything, and I look at it, and Dad's just like, nope. We walked out.
That was a running joke in our family, because Grandma Amistadi, who took vacations with us all the time, it was her treat to buy. We're in this hot, you know, vehicle, all 10 of us packed in like sardines. Mm-hmm. You didn't have air conditioning. And so we stopped just for an ice cream cone. There was a swanky hotel chain, Howard Johnson's, and Grandma Amistadi bought us all an ice cream cone. One scoop was like $3.50, and you got 10 of you, you know, $35 right there. Oh, and at that time, you're talking in the early 70s. That was a lot of money back then. But yeah, the difference too nowadays, a lot of us drove as family members. Nowadays, most people fly just because it's easier too. Mm-hmm. But you know, you got a family of say five or whatever, and you got to pay for airfare on top of everything else.
Yeah.
Everything's expensive. I did Google real quick how much is a ticket to Disney World. A one-day ticket to Magic Kingdom can average anywhere from, it averages $160, but anywhere from $109 to $189. Peak seasons, holidays, school breaks, obviously you're going to pay more.
Yeah, and that's just one. So there's Epcot, there's the Magic Kingdom, and there's the third one, I think, over there too. I forget
what
it is.
There's like some Legoland, because I know my niece and her husband took their kids when they were littler.
Well, maybe I'm thinking there's a third thing, because I think we went to was it Universal Studios, which I'm not sure that's part of Disneyland. That might be separate.
I don't
know. A different thing. But we went to three different things in three different days, because it was a whole travel agent.
Well, it's grown so much over the years.
But yeah, so I mean, if we're talking $30-$40 a piece for, I mean, it could have been as much as $50 for all I remember. But that was back in the early 90s or mid 90s, excuse me. And now if it's $150 per, you know, Epcot, per Magic Kingdom, per Universal Studios, I mean, that's $450 just to try and get into three different things for three different days.
And you're going to want to eat, and then, you want to buy, hydrate, and you're going to have somewhere to stay.
Because for us, you know, going down to Florida, it's hot and humid this time of year. Mm-hmm. And of course, like I said, back then, I think a bottle of water was probably $5 to $8 or whatever. Yeah. Now it's probably 10 or more.
Yep. And sure, you can pack that, you know, in your vehicle and stuff. But yeah, it's certainly not cheap to do that. But the downtown street fair, that's affordable.
Yeah, that is affordable.
Kicks off runs today, 10 to 9, tomorrow, 10 to 9, and then Saturday, it always ends early, 10 to 5 on Saturday. More than 200 vendors down there selling their wares and their food and their beverages. What is the craftiest thing you can make? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. If you want to weigh in on that, 701-293-9000, email studio, wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Mark says moonshine.
Nice.
I bet his friends all think that's pretty cool.
if
you're sharing with them. Doug says tri-tip on the grill. That's another thing. It's like you have to have some skill. Like not everybody's good at grilling stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We grill a lot.
Yeah.
And smoking too. Some people are really good with their smokers. So yeah, it's still a craft, something that you're good at. 5:55, time now to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. Sun is coming up. It is beautiful already this morning. A little cool if you had the windows open last night. Maybe it got chilly in your house. A lot of us would have liked the cooler temps. 49 degrees right now at our WDAY radio studios, high atop I-29 in South Fargo. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is calling for a high temp around 76 today with sunshine. And again, the downtown street fair kicks off 10 o'clock this morning. Starting next Friday and continuing over two weekends, it is the North Dakota State Fair in Minot, and we have some more tickets to give away. We got one more pair of tickets to give away for Sawyer Brown. That concert is Wednesday, July 23rd, and we also have one pair of tickets to give away to Luke Bryan. That is Saturday, July 26th. So if those are tickets you would like to win, you're going to be available to use them and be able to head up to the North Dakota State Fair in Minot. Be listening for an opportunity to win those and make sure that you have not won anything in the past month. Doesn't matter which show you've been listening to. If you've won something in the past month on WDAY Radio, you got to sit this one out.
As long as you haven't won stuff from us, you can participate.
No, you can't.
I'm talking about our whole company. I'm talking like if you won something on a different radio station or you won something.
Yeah, I could care less.
If you won
a
game of bingo at Big Top Bingo the other night and won $40, you can still have a chance. But
just if you've won something, say like on WAG or the Jay Thomas Show or the Coffee Club, then you have to sit this one out. But if you haven't won anything in the past month and our Mariana keeps really good track, you'll be eligible to win. Again, Sawyer Brown, Wednesday, July 23rd, and Luke Bryan, Saturday, July 26th, up at the North Dakota State Fair in Minot. A lot of great concerts. We had the Jelly Roll ones that we gave away to. Yeah, I know. I missed my opportunity when he was here in town last year. I think it was a Sunday night concert. And it's just like, that's too late on a school night to be out. I do it on Thursday nights if I'm golfing, only because it's like, I just have to clog through one more day of my week.
Speaking of Jelly Roll, so a couple things. So I told you my old roommate helps MC North Dakota Country Fest out in New Salem, right?
Yep.
And speaking of him, he was in, I believe, New York for New Year's Rockin' Eve with Dick Clark, hosted by Ryan Seacrest, or however they are. Dick's Clark,
however
New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Yeah,
Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest, or however they do it.
Yeah.
And I think that was the one where they had Jelly Roll on performing. And I know that my buddy Dew had a couple of pictures with him. So he was out in New York for that. And was there actually, taking a couple pictures with Jelly Roll and his wife and stuff. So
Bunny.
Yeah, Bunny. Yep.
I think Jelly Roll's a cool cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a good message and come a long ways in life. So
yeah, he has. Now he's on a weight loss journey. He's lost a lot of weight on top of it. And he really resonates with those in recovery and those battling addictions.
Yeah, sometimes you just simply need someone that is been where you are.
Yep.
Or has been where you are now.
Yep.
I mean, that's why, just as an example, because I know today is the third Thursday of the month, which means that the Heart Transplant Support Group has their, biweekly Zoom call. And that is such a good group to be a part of, especially when you're in the hospital shortly after a transplant. You're out, and you're struggling, because I remember even one of the wives of one of the transplant patients just like, look, you're going to have some ups, you're going to have some downs, yeah, you know, but you know, it's going to get better. You just have to, you know, remember that. So sometimes just having that person, that role model to show you that you can go, that's already been there. So like, look, if I can do it, you can do it. And that's kind of the biggest thing with some things, is to know that there's other people. I mean, we were at the Boys to Men concert, and I should have, I would have felt weird because there was a concert going on, and then you wait till after the concert. But I did notice there was a woman that was there with a sister or a friend or somebody, and obviously different styles, because I don't wear the deep V's, you know, my shirts. They're normal shirts. I don't wear the deep V.
Okay.
But I did see, I did notice a woman that had a chest scar like me.
Oh, okay.
So, and I,
probably,
you know,
heart surgery or
probably at least a heart surgery, not necessarily a transplant. But there's part of me that when I see something like that, I want to ask. I mean, like we were in Panera in the hospital complex there. I saw an elderly woman, and she had the same pillow that I had, and I had to ask her. I was like, "That's a nice pillow. I got one myself," you know. And she had just had some type of open heart surgery or whatnot, but it wasn't a transplant. But I mean, it's just kind of like. And I now feel this connection to heart operation patients.
I totally get it. And scars tell stories, too. Love that. 602, we are WDAY Fargo. 604, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here. And what a beautiful morning we've got going on.
Do you know anybody 150 years old, Bonnie?
No, I do not.
No?
Mm-mm. Do you? Where are you? What's your question? He disappeared. Are you there?
All right.
What? You fizzled out.
Yeah.
Do you know anybody 150 years old?
Uh-uh.
So 150 years old on this date, the temperature was a record low 43. And at the top of the hour, we're at 43. So we're going to go down in the record books.
Wow. Here in Fargo?
Yes. Oh. Yes. So we'll see what the actual a lot of times right before sunrise, the temperature will drop a few more degrees. So we've tied the record. We could actually beat that. I wouldn't be surprised if the final low temperature is 42. There's even some 30s out there. Can you believe that? It's incredible. 36 degrees right now in Willow City. That's the cool spot in the state right now. 46 in Grand Forks. We're at 45 in Wahpeton. 46 in Moorhead and 44 in Yulin. So a chilly start to the day. But we're going to see a lot of sunshine to start off the day today. We'll see a few clouds coming in as we head into the evening hours. Highs today in the mid-70s with the south-southeast wind about 5 to 10. We'll see showers and thunder showers, developing tonight. And we'll drop down to a low into the upper 50s. And showers and thunder showers continue on Friday. Much cooler, highs only around 70. So we'll be stuck in the 60s most of the day on Friday. The weekend, though, does improve. I'll have your weekend outlook coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Okay, so very nice for the start of the downtown street fair today. In terms of the showers and thunder showers that you're talking about for tomorrow, like all day long, or we'll have a little, then it'll break, and then we'll have more, and it'll break, or what are you expecting?
Boy, you just want me to pinpoint everything, don't you?
Yeah, it's your job, buddy. That's why we pay you the big bucks.
Yeah, but this is my Friday, so I'm basically on skate mode.
Yeah.
Now, it looks like the first half of the day on Friday looks wet. We dry things out towards the end.
Okay, some of us get up really early. What's considered half the day?
Oh, you're killing me, Smalls.
12 hours.
Jeez.
By noon, like so in the afternoon?
Like, yeah, so like by late afternoon, things will start to dry out.
Hey, it's your last day for a while. I'm going to try to bug you.
Would you like me to define late afternoon, too?
No, I can figure that out. But I'm going to see if I can do my best to bother you today.
You do that every day? What's the difference today or any other day?
Au contraire, mon frère. You're the one that drives me crazy.
Well, that is true. I'm not going to deny that.
I don't know if you have any skill here. What's the craftiest thing you can make? That's our question of the morning.
Did she just say, I don't have any skill? I don't know if you have any skill.
I know.
Here.
She doesn't know if you have any skill.
12 ounces, you're really good at that, and you're good at golfing. Do you do anything crafty?
Nope.
Exactly. I think I know you pretty well.
I'm pretty sports oriented, but if it comes to fixing anything or building anything, no. Nope, sorry.
Hmm. Weren't you very good in elementary arts classes and crafts?
No, like when I had to take shop class, they're lucky I didn't put a nail gun through my hand.
Yeah, some people are just better at things like that than others.
Oh, yeah. My cousin is really good at it. He built, and I told him he should market this. He built this wine rack, and it's a spiral wine rack, and it's about 6 feet tall, so it fits, I don't know, 12 bottles of wine in it. And they slide in, like, sideways as this it's almost like a spiral staircase for wine bottles. And I told him, I'm like, why don't you market this, build them? I said, you can make a fortune off of this. He goes, I just do it on the side.
Yeah.
Man. Wow.
Yeah.
So he got the talent in the family for that.
My brother is really crafty and handy. When we were growing up, my grandma always volunteered at a nursing home, so she would take all of us kids when we were younger. And my brother got to be friends with an elderly patient there, and the guy was really good about hand carving intricate ducks. And they'd even the wings, you would actually see the carvings in the wings, and then they'd varnish them, and they were pretty good size. They were probably about, I don't know, 10 to 12 inches across. My brother's really good, and he's made a number of those over the years. He knows how to do taxidermy, but he's very good at observing others. He also makes a lot of, like, stone tables in fireplaces. Like, he'll go pick rocks on the shores of the North Shore of Duluth there and make things. Like, his shower downstairs is exclusively made out of rock and stone, his fireplaces. Plus, when the mines shut down, he went back to school to be a mason, and so now he gets hired out to fix up old stone structures all across Minnesota, whether they were on state land or private residences, chimneys, and anything that's built out of stone, he can restore all that stuff. So he's super-duper handy with stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All right. Thanks, Dean.
You got it.
Find a hobby, would you? Find something you can be crafty at. Terry had put a picture, and I know he shared this before, and it's just beautiful, about the craftiest thing he can make. He made a beautiful cradle.
Oh, the crib. Cradle.
You see cribs. You don't really see cradles so much anymore, but he made it, and he says all of his four grandkids have used it. And this would be something like my brother can do intricate work like this. Like, he's got spindles, and then he notched a heart on two sides of this cradle. And that stuff takes a lot of work and a lot of craft, and that is very beautiful, Terry. And your grandkids are very fortunate to have something that hopefully – one of them ends up with someday, and they can pass it on to their kids and the next generation and the next generation. I love that.
Yeah, definitely, because when it's handmade like that, that is something you want to hold on to for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot somebody was on hold. Sorry, they hung up. They ran out of patience. We're going to get you right when Jace was done talking and you hung up. Sorry. 6:11, we're going to get your national news in now from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:15, Big Game James McCarty has arrived with your WDAY Radio Sports.
Minnesota Timberwolves continuing their successful summer league with an 89-85 win over the Phoenix Suns yesterday afternoon. They were actually down 32-16 after the first quarter before outscoring Phoenix by 6 points, 8, and then 6 again, respectively, in the last three quarters. Rob Dillingham did have 23 points and 7 assists in that victory. Leonard Miller with a double-double, 22 points and 11 rebounds. Jalen Clark added double figures as well, along with a handful of steals. Terrence Shannon Jr. did not play in the game last night. He was off just due to it being day two of a back-to-back. The team just wanted to – he got his work in. They just wanted to make sure that he stays healthy here at this point. And the Wolves are still waiting to figure out what their fate is in summer league, because you get four teams into that semifinals round, and there's more than four teams that are undefeated here at this point.
Oh, they're doing a semifinals this year?
Yeah, a semifinals and a championship. So it's going to come down to a point differential, because entering yesterday, the Wolves were one of, like, I want to say eight teams that were 3-0 entering play, and they were in that, in a fifth spot, I believe, for point differential. So they were right on the outside looking in. So it all depends on what happens today on if they'll make that semifinal or not. Otherwise, they'll just get a fifth game this weekend just to close out summer league. Minnesota Lynx, in their final game before the All-Star break and game one of a five-game homestand, they took down the Phoenix Mercury 79-66 with a 18-point, 5-rebound, 5-assist performance from Caleb McBride, who was actually named a replacement at the All-Star game for somebody who wasn't able to go. So Caleb McBride will join him. He's a caller here in the All-Star game this weekend. Courtney Williams dropped in 12 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists in the victory. Lynx went 10 deep last night, and they improved to a WNBA best 20-4 record on the season. The All-Star game will be in Indianapolis on Saturday night at 7:30. Coverage on ABC for that one. And the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, they defeated the Kansas City Monarchs for the third straight time on Wednesday night, 4-2 this time. Jake Dykoff went 7 innings, gave up 2 runs, earned the victory. Parker Harm, Garrett Alexander, each tossing shutout innings in relief. Michael Hallquist stole home plate in the game, and now the Redhawks look to try and complete the 4-game sweep of the Monarchs this afternoon, beginning at 12:30 at Newman Outdoor Field. And PGA Tour, the Open in Ireland, they teed off a couple of hours ago. Currently, Jacob Skov Olsen, he is tied for the lead with Lee Westwood at 4 under par. You have Olsen, he is final through his opening round at 67, and then Westwood is 4 under through 12 holes. As of right now, Tom Hoagie, he just bogeyed his last hole, so he's 1 over par, tied for 43rd as of right now, and he's along the same likes of guys that include Hideki Matsuyama, Ben Griffin, Patrick Reed, Jason Day, guys of those sorts, Zach Johnson as well. So we'll keep you updated on that throughout the rest of the day and into the weekend, as hopefully Hoagie, after being a little bit more situated over in that Eastern Hemisphere, is going to be able to make the cut line here this weekend. In Running Out Sports, this hour, Primetime Sports at 6:30 tonight. Jason and I will get you up to speed. And there's a story I need to do a little bit more searching into this morning, but evidently Teddy Bridgewater has been suspended from his alma mater for basically for benefits given to the student athletes that include, from what I've read, Uber rides, meals, things of those sorts, and even gear, some other things on top of that, gear and different things. So I'm kind of curious as to where the investigation started for that, what the code is, because it's in the state of Florida, when it comes to the amateur athlete, things of those sorts, and what's going on with that. Because I feel as though there has to be something else going on that's not public yet.
I don't think it's so much the benefits that were given to the student athletes. I think it's the fact that he's paying for stuff that it's coming out of his own pocket.
Right.
And so he's basically given, what would you call it? Unapproved benefits to his players. But of course, he's doing some of that to get them extra reps, to make them better. He's getting them Uber rides so they get to practice. Maybe it's getting to school, et cetera. I have no idea.
Maybe these kids can't afford it.
So he's trying to help them out to get them to practice, to get them, you know, on the football team, et cetera, et cetera. But those are impermissible benefits that he's given to those student athletes when, you know, there's only so much I'm sure you're allowed to do. So
Exactly. And so that's something I'm going to look into this morning.
The interesting part is that there's a quote from Teddy that has said, it's like, well, fine, I'll step away and I'll just coach from the bleachers like I did in 2018 and 2019. So I'm like, he's very passionate about his alma mater back there in Florida, led him to a state title last year.
Which is tremendous because, you know, I mean, sometimes when you hit that, I mean, even just when you leave your hometown, you don't come back and benefit in any capacity. But the fact that he had close to 9 years in the NFL?
Probably at least.
A decade? Because was he 2014 class, I believe?
Something like that,
With the Vikings' last pick of the first round. So he spent a decade in the NFL and now to go back and impact your community. But there are some things that, of course, are pretty well drawn in the sand that you just can't cross over.
And if this is a public school, that's one thing. If this was a private school, then maybe the benefits, it wouldn't even be an issue. But since it's a public school, I believe, there's probably only so much you can allow to donate to your alma mater to help out the kids. So we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. But it seems as though, in essence, though, I would say that his heart is in the right place. He's not trying to recruit players to his team and giving them Rolexes or money or cars or anything like that. So it's not like a terrible thing. He paid out of his own pocket for some of the things that the team needed. So it was a good effort, obviously.
We'll see how that shakes out. Some bad weather mentioned earlier. There were 5 tornado touchdowns in Wisconsin. Chicago area had tornadoes. So weird. I was searching around for news yesterday. I came across 3 separate stories of deadly lightning strikes, 2 here in the U.S. and 1 in which an Olympian over in Norway was killed by a lightning strike. And we'll have more on that coming up next. Beautiful sunny start to our day. The sun's going to stick around a little on the cool side here this morning, but it is going to be absolutely gorgeous. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki calling for sunshine, high of 76, a beautiful start to the downtown street fair in Fargo. That kicks off this morning at 10 o'clock, 10 to 9 today, and tomorrow 10 to 5 on Saturday. More than 200 vendors offering up their crafts and wares and plenty of food as well. And it'll be busy down there today with it being such a pleasant day. Not too hot, no rain in the forecast. Again, sunny 76 and rain the first half of the day tomorrow. Dean always says when we talk about if you see or hear thunder, there can be lightning. You should get inside, right? Thunderstorms roll around.
Don't you have to have the lightning to have the thunder? Because the thunder, I thought, was the heating of the air, and it causes that expansion, and that's what causes the noise.
I don't know. Maybe I should have waited till he was back with us, but he's not with us. But usually, like within a tent, you can get struck by lightning 10 miles away, is what he usually says
from the eye of the
thunderstorm going on.
Yeah.
So you should always seek safety. Well, I've seen it time and time again. There'll be people out playing baseball or softball, and you've got thunder, and you've got lightning or golfing or whatever. There were three deadly strikes that I came up across yesterday when I was surfing for news stories. There's a guy who won a bronze medal in skiing in 2020 at the Winter Olympics. He was from Norway. His name is Auden Grønwald. Won the bronze medal. He was struck by lightning and killed, just 49 years old. He was on a cabin trip. Don't know. Doesn't say he was skiing anywhere, but he was on some type of trip, and he got hit by lightning and killed. So Norway mourning the loss of one of their Olympians, hit by lightning and killed. And then over in this country, there was a guy, 28 years old. He was golfing I got to see where this was.
Was this the New Jersey one?
Yeah. Well, I saw it Hamburg, and I thought, is this Germany? But no, it was New Jersey. He was golfing with his dad in a tournament, hit by lightning, and killed.
Wait, so that's not the one with the archery range?
No, that's the third one I'm going to get to. I haven't gotten there yet.
Well, that one is...
That's a different one.
Yeah, but that was also in New Jersey.
Yep, different story. This is a golfer struck by lightning playing on a course in New Jersey, playing in a tournament with his dad. It was an all-day Ironman golf competition, hit by a lightning bolt. His dad immediately started CPR. Others rushed in to help, started doing mouth-to-mouth, ended up dying. Paramedics took over, ended up dying at the hospital. So sad. And then the archery one, one dead, 13 injured by a lightning strike at a New Jersey archery range. Mm. There was just one or two stories last week we came across, too, about lightning strikes where people were killed. That's crazy to have that many in a week span. I mean, I know lightning's deadly, but to come across that many stories. There was another, like, dozen people somewhere else. I think that was South Carolina last week. I saw a story, 12, 13 people injured. But yeah, two of them occurred in New Jersey, one on the golf course, one at an archery range. Two people are dead, 13 others hurt at that archery range after a lightning strike. 61-year-old man dead, 13 others, including a 7-year-old, were injured. That's just, thunderstorms are going on, thunder, you see lightning, try to get inside somewhere, seek shelter, because, wow, that's just crazy, but that's Mother Nature for you.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, you can't, I mean, obviously if there's a storm or there's the conditions that would produce lightning, you mean, you don't really know exactly where it's always going to strike. So if there's a thunderstorm in the area with lightning, maybe it's not the best idea to be out and about, you know, on the golf range or out playing softball or anything like that. I mean, especially when, you know, if you're going to be in a flat area where you're, as a person, you're going to be one of the higher points on the ground. I mean, that I think that lends to more lightning strikes for people, because normally it's going to strike a tree or some type of, you know, taller type of structure, you know, and you just don't want to make it easier for a bad accident to happen.
Another weird weather story. I turned on the TV to catch the news last night, and I'm like, what? There was a tsunami alert that they issued for off the coast of Alaska, the Aleutian Islands, mm-hmm. yesterday. 7.3 magnitude earthquake hit.
Oh, wow.
That's a big one.
Yeah, it is.
And then a tsunami warning. You don't hear about those very often. They later canceled it, but mm-hmm. still, that's a big one. My niece and her family are still over in Alaska. I see she had posted that they had been along the coast, but they had moved inland 2 days prior to, but they are still over there. But that would be scary. I don't know why it surprises me, like Alaska tsunami warning. I guess it's not, I wouldn't have expected that, I guess.
Well,
but
I mean,
they say they do get earthquakes there. So.
Yeah, they do. And sometimes if you get, you know, a 7, what'd you say, 7.3?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big enough earthquake that, yeah, you might have, I mean, you're going to have those tsunami warnings just because you don't know how everything's going to play out. But, you know, it's one of those things where the conditions are met that could cause a tsunami. And, you know, you're around those Alaskan islands there and the coastline there. I mean, you never know. Stuff could happen.
I remember because we had neighbors across the street from us a number of years back when that huge tsunami hit Sri Lanka
mm-hmm.
Back in 2004. That was like one of the deadliest ones ever. I want to Google here how many people died in that. 225,000 people died in that tsunami there.
Mm-hmm.
That. Like, yeah. I'd never heard of a tsunami until that time. And like I said, we had neighbors across the street who were from Sri Lanka. So it kind of, you know, caught our attention. But 225,000 people dying.
Yeah. I mean.
And most of them drowned, you know, big wave
water
came at them.
The water, I think when you're right by it, I think, doesn't the water kind of recede back? Then all of a sudden you just have that huge wave of water that just, you can't stop it. It's
30
just,
feet wall of water.
Yeah, and
you're
it just,
not surviving
no,
that.
And it just pushes in. I mean, we saw the one, where was it? Was it that one in Japan that they had it not that terribly long ago, like, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago? Remember
yeah,
that one?
Maybe, or Philippines or something. Yeah.
But I mean, it's just, it's so, on one hand, it's amazing to watch, but at the other time, it would be absolutely terrifying because, like you said, you just can't stop any of that water once that momentum gets going after an earthquake. So.
Power of Mother Nature.
Yeah.
6:30, coming up 7:10 this morning, Jill Patry, Clay County Extension Horticulture Educator, is going to be joining us. If you have any lawn, garden, or tree questions, call in then, or you can send them in to studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. We will ask Jill when she gets on the air with us. And again, we have tickets to give away. Sawyer Brown and Luke Bryan, both at the North Dakota State Fair in Minot. If you want to win those, be listening for an opportunity. 6:32, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has arrived now with a check on our beautiful forecast.
Man, I'll tell you. So I want to know, we should, how many people?
Seven.
701. 701-293-9000. Call him Bug Bonnie. I want to know how many of our listeners turned the heat on.
Oh, they're not that nutty.
No, not
did you
now.
Turn yours on, you
all
nut?
You need to do is use a nice blanket.
That's what I say. But I know one person already this morning said they
name
had to turn.
Names. Who?
Yeah.
No, because she might be listening, and I don't want to be in the doghouse.
I know who you're talking about.
I said, you got to be kidding. Why don't you just shut the windows? But I'd be curious if anybody turned their heat on. I mean, we set a record low this morning, so yeah, who turned their heat on? That's what I want to know. I kept the windows open. It felt so good.
Yeah, I'm still catching up on cool, comfortable air. I'm not certainly turning the heat on.
Right. Okay. All right. So just checking. I'd be curious how many people turn the heat on. We've got temperatures 34 right now in Willow City. I would be curious if they have any frost on the ground. That's pushing it. I mean, that's close. But, yeah, temperatures this morning are record-breaking for some, not for all. So far, officially, we've hit 43. That will tie a 150-year-old record. Unreal.
Jeez.
It'll be interesting to see if we briefly drop to 42. We'll know that before we're done here this morning. But we'll have a lot of sunshine today. Highs across the area in the low to mid 70s. We'll see an increase in clouds, though, as we head towards late afternoon. So a sunny start and then a few clouds come in. And then towards sunset, we'll see showers developing after sunset, right around 8, 9 o'clock tonight. Showers will move in from the west as a warm front pushes towards the area. And more widespread showers and thunder showers overnight tonight with lows in the upper 50s. And showers for the first half of the day on Friday, much cooler too. Highs only right around 70 degrees. The weekend, though, does improve. We'll be in the upper 70s on Saturday and low to mid 80s on Sunday. Sunday probably being the better of the 2 days, but Saturday not bad either. And then another chance of some widespread showers and storms coming in Monday and Tuesday of next week. So we're getting into a more rainier pattern. And that's good news. It looks like over the next 10 to 14 days, we could have 1-2 inches of widespread rain across much of the area. So if your lawn was looking for a drink, your garden looking for a drink of water,
not
finally.
The same kind of drink that Dean enjoys.
Kind of drink. Oh, no. Come on, Bonnie. You know, hey, we all have to have fun in life.
That's true, too. You weren't here yet. Jay said mentioned something. I'm like, I don't know. What did you say? You need thunder to have lightning? Is that what you said?
No, you have to have lightning to have thunder.
Yes? No?
Yes.
You have to have lightning to have thunder. Oh, okay.
Because the lightning heats up the air, and the air expands, and that's what causes the
and
sound.
And then kaboom.
Okay, yeah. I'm done backing you up. When you're gone, he needs to be the backup for you.
Why? Because I got one thing right?
Yeah, basically.
Actually,
and I didn't know enough to dispute him. I'm like,
the point
know.
Is not that I was actually right for once. Is the fact that Bonnie thought I was completely wrong.
No.
I wasn't going to agree or
disagree with you because I didn't know. It's like, where's the expert? He's checked out. He's not even here with us.
I learned that a long time ago as a kid, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, see, there you go.
We were just talking, too. I know you hadn't joined us yet. You were over on our sister station with Kevin and Alex, but there was 3 deadly lightning strikes. An Olympic skier from Norway was killed in a lightning strike, and then there was 2 in New Jersey, a golfer and somebody at an archery range. Just 3 stories I came across yesterday while surfing for news. And there was a number last week, too. There was a couple different lightning strikes.
Yeah, when lightning roars, go indoors. That's the old saying.
And, that's good.
And you can be struck by lightning 10 miles away.
I had that part right. I said that. Yeah. Okay, so it's tie.
No, I asked 10 miles from what? The eye of the storm?
I don't know.
Well, 10 miles from wherever the thunderstorm is, yeah. Because lightning can shoot out of a thunderstorm. But yeah, it could be 10 miles. So you could get struck by lightning with clear skies. And the reason being, if you've got a big thunderstorm that's, let's say, over in Moorhead, you know, and that lightning can strike 10 miles away from the parent storm.
Mm. Okay, we're both right, so we'll both do your job when you
I didn't dispute you.
No, I know, but I just said I was right. I was taking glory in the fact that I was right.
You both get a gold star.
We're going to raid your desk. We know where they're at. It's been a long time since we got gold stars.
Then there's the last one, Dean. So what, in a sense, is it just the static electricity kind of built up in the atmosphere when we have those nights where we have a lot of lightning but there's no thunderstorms, just that heat lightning or whatever they call it?
Oh yeah, it's lightning is lightning. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the heat lightning kind of scenario.
It's cool looking.
Yeah.
It's lightning is lightning, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get your positive and negative charges within a thunderstorm, and you know, some are more intense than others, so you get a better lightning or light show, if you will.
Yeah. Well, that big storm that we had that did all the damage that spawned all those tornadoes a few weeks ago, that was putting on quite the lightning show that night, because we had at least enough cloud, not low level clouds, that we could really see it, and so it was kind of fascinating to watch it as that storm rolled into the area. Obviously, the damage and the deaths were less than ideal, but it was a really interesting storm to watch come into the area.
Yeah, and we'll have the stuff coming in tonight and tomorrow. Not looking for anything in terms of severe weather out of that. Now, the stuff coming in next week, Monday and Tuesday, that looks like that might pack a little more punch.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I'll be on vacation, so let's hope not.
So that means we don't know when it's going to show up then, because
I just
Dean's
told
just
you.
Mailing it in.
I just told you.
Yeah, but it's your Friday. You're just like, it's going to come Monday or Tuesday. It won't show up till like Thursday or something based on the way you do things before vacation. if it shows up at all,
it'll be here. It'll be here Monday and Tuesday. Mark my words. So if you have outdoor plans on Monday, especially Monday, we got stormy weather coming.
Yeah, Corey emailed in. We did not turn our heat on, but an older gentleman in the Rutland area turned his heat on 2 nights ago. Yeah, my folks probably have their heat on too. You get chilled faster when you're older.
Well, you lose that body fat when you're older, and then all of a sudden you're
cold all
the time.
Why can't we lose the body fat now?
I don't know. Why does our metabolism, why is it fast when we're young and slow when we're old? That's not fair.
It's not, is it?
No, because when you get older, you normally have more disposable income for better food, and I want to be able to eat better food. Doggone it.
We just want to eat all the food.
Well, there's that, too, yeah.
How about you use the disposable income for gym membership so then you can eat whatever the heck you want?
That's too much work.
And you go to the gym.
I already do that.
Okay.
So, you know. I'm barely maintaining, Dean. There's no progress. I'm just maintaining.
There's other ways to lose weight. Ask your wife.
Okay, it's a family show, so we'll leave it at that. Thank you, Dean.
You got it.
It is 6:40. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network and Big Game James McCarty as your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:45. Big Game James McCarty's here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
In his opening round at the Open, he is now 4 over par through 7 holes. He double bogeyed his last hole. The 2 previous from that were just single bogeys. He's tied for 74th as of right now, looking to try and recover here in the back half of that opening round. A couple of leaders tied for at 4 under par at Jacob Skov Olsen for that tournament in Ireland. The Minnesota Timberwolves, they found themselves with a victory over the Phoenix Suns, 89-85 on Wednesday afternoon in summer league play to improve to 4-0. It was tough sledding, though, early. They were down 32-16 after the first quarter. They chipped away at it and were able to finally get the victory in the closing seconds of that one yesterday in Vegas. Rob Dillingham with 23.7 assists, Leonard Miller with 22 points and 11 rebounds in the win, and Terrence Shannon Jr. did not play in that matchup. Minnesota Lynx began a 5-game homestand yesterday afternoon where they would defeat the Phoenix Mercury 79-66 to improve to a league-best 20-4 on the season. Newly named All-Star Caleb McBride would power Minnesota with 18 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Courtney Williams would chip in 12.7 rebounds and 5 assists as well in that victory. The Lynx are now off for a couple of days for the All-Star break this weekend where they'll be in Indianapolis for the All-Star game on Saturday night at 7:30. You'll have Nafisa Collier and Kayla McBride participating from the Lynx. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks edging out the Kansas City Monarchs 4-2 on Wednesday night. Jake Dykhoff tossing 7 quality innings, giving up only 2 runs, earning the victory. The bullpen and Parker Harm and Garrett Alexander each to the shutout inning in relief to slam the door shut. 3 different Redhawks scoring runs. Michael Hallquist scored 2 of them, including one where he stole home plate in the game. Redhawks try and complete a 4-game sweep of the Monarchs this afternoon, beginning at 12:30 at Newman Outdoor Field. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I will get you up to speed on the local sports scene and beyond. Pebble Lake Golf Club in Furious Falls combines the beauty of nature and the challenge of a championship course. Book a tee time online at playpebblelake.com.
6:47, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Coming up 7:10 this morning, Clay County Extension horticulture educator Jill Patrie will join us. So if you have any questions about your lawn, your garden, your trees, 7:10 will be the time to call in. Or you can always email your questions in early. Send them to studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. We do have some more tickets to give away to the North Dakota State Fair. We'll try to do those today, if not sometime this week. But we have 1 pair to Sawyer Brown, which is Wednesday, July 23rd, and then 1 pair of tickets to Luke Bryan, which is Saturday, July 26th. If you want to win those, be listening for an opportunity to do so. It was on this date in entertainment history, this guy who was the opening act for the Monkees. It was a weird, weird, weird combination there. It was his final opening act. He was done with them. He even flipped them the bird before throwing down his guitar and walking off stage. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback. That will be coming your way right around 6:56. Stand by. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly.
It was on this date in 1978, this band made their live debut at the Satellite Club in Glasgow, Scotland. They had a number one hit back in 1985. We're going to find out who that was and what song it was coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback.
That'll wake you up if you weren't fully awake. It's time for Flatland Music Flashback. Flatland Guitar, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs.
I wonder what kind of bag it was.
I
something
know
nice leather and strappy, or maybe something small and compact.
Something filled with weed, probably.
What?
Yes.
How dare you? On this day in 1965, King Records released Papa's Got a Brand New Bag by James Brown. The song went on to sell over 2 million copies and received a Grammy for Best Rhythm and Blues Recording.
Papa's Got a Brand New Bag is considered to be key in the emergence of funk music as a distinct style.
1967, Jimi Hendrix played his eighth and final show as the opening act for the Monkees.
That's comical. Like, it is. Who thought that was a good idea?
These two acts will go together. They'll draw the same crowd. Show didn't go so well as Monkees fans wanted nothing to do with Hendrix.
Of course.
Dummies.
As a parting gift, he flipped them the bird before throwing down his guitar and walking off stage. Man. Later.
1974. The Moody Blues opened what they claim was the first quadraphonic recording studio in the world. That technique basically emerged into what is now known as surround sound.
How about that? The pioneers of art rock and progressive rock influenced many groups, including Yes, ELO, Deep Purple, and Genesis. They are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That's quite a varied group of bands that were influenced by them. Different styles with those guys.
Kind of, yeah.
1978. Simple Minds made their live debut at the Satellite Club in Glasgow, Scotland. They're best known for the U.S. for this song, which became a number one hit in 1985.
Don't Forget About Me was on the Breakfast Club soundtrack. The band has had a number of lineup changes, but they actually continue to record and tour.
Was it Judge Reinhold walking off when the credits were rolling and they paused it on him walking off and song was playing? Sharon! 1987, Ozzy Osbourne started a 16-week tour of U.S. prisons after surviving a bizarre tour of a prison in London. Before the show there, he was treated to tea. While talking to the man who made the tea, Ozzy learned the guy was in prison because he poisoned 8 people to death.
Yeah, opening band called the Scrubs was made up of prison guards and prisoners. The bass player was involved in one of the biggest mass killings in British history. The guitarist beat a drug dealer to death. The smell of weed was so heavy it reminded Ozzy of a Jamaican wedding.
Yeah, man!
A bar outside the door served some of the guards drinks. Ozzy and his band escaped unscathed. He called that incident the last good memory of the 80s. That's funny.
Having a birthday today, Luke Bryan is 49. Singer, songwriter, and TV personality grew up on a peanut farm in Georgia. And has had dozens of hits over the years. Country Girl, Shake It For Me, peaked at number 4 on the country music charts and number 22 on the Billboard Hot 100 charts.
And Luke Bryan's going to be at the North Dakota State Fair in Minot, Saturday, July 26th. We have one pair of tickets to give away. Be listening for an opportunity this week to win those right here on Bonnie and Friends. Jill Patrie, Clay County Extension, is going to be joining us to take your lawn, garden, and tree questions coming up in 10 minutes. You can call in then. Or send in your questions to studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. 7 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 7:02, time now for a check on our forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
And we're looking at a chilly start to the day. If you're just waking up, officially, we tied the record. We're going to see if we ended up beating it, but we tied a 150-year-old record for morning low of 43. Now, Endon hit 42 this morning. I won't be surprised to see if we actually, instead of tying it, broke it, that we briefly dipped the 42. So we'll wait until the official observation comes in from Hector for that. But a lot of sunshine with temperatures today reaching the low to mid-70s. Now, we will see an increase in clouds by late afternoon. And then as we head towards 8, 9 o'clock, we could see an isolated shower developing, pulling in from the west. But most of the rain holding off till overnight tonight, where we'll see more widespread showers and a few thunder showers with lows in the upper 50s. And then Friday, look for scattered showers and thunder showers for the first half of the day. Highs only in the upper 60s to near 70. The weekend looks great. Upper 70s on Saturday, low to mid 80s on Sunday.
Very nice. All right. Dean's Weather This Hour brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. 7:03, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. And Jill Patrie, Clay County Extension Horticulture Educator, joins us after that to take your lawn, garden, and tree questions. 7:08, Jill Patrie, Clay County Extension Horticulture Educator, joining us shortly. First of all, a quick check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Minnesota Timberwolves found themselves trailing 32-16 after one quarter of play in their fourth a summer league game against the Phoenix Suns yesterday afternoon. They would outscore them by 6 points in the second, 8 in the third, and 6 in the fourth. They would get a four-point victory, 89-85, led by Rob Dillingham's 23 points, 7 assists. Leonard Miller would add 22 points, 11 rebounds as well. Terrence Shannon Jr. was in street clothes yesterday, just more or less out of rest purposes for him because it was day two of a back-to-back. The Wolves will find out their fate in summer league by this evening. If they're in the top four, they'll end up in a semifinal capacity. If not, they'll just end up getting a fifth summer league game this weekend. Minnesota Lynx began a five-game homestand with a victory over the Phoenix Mercury, 79-66 last night. Caleb McBride, the newly named All-Star, led the Lynx with 18 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. They improved to 20-4 in the season as they break for the All-Star break this weekend, where the All-Star game will be in Indianapolis Saturday night at 7:30 on ABC. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks edging out the Kansas City Monarchs 4-2 on Wednesday night. Jake Dykoff, seven innings, giving up 2 runs, earning the victory. Shutout innings from both Parker Harmon and Garrett Alexander to slam the door shut. 3 different Redhawks would score, including Michael Hallquist, who actually stole home plate in the game. Redhawks looking to try and complete a 4-game sweep at 12:30 this afternoon at Newman Outdoor Field. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I will get you up to speed on the local sports scene and beyond.
Phone lines are open if you have any questions for Clay County Extension horticulture educator Jill Patry. She's here to answer them for you. 701-293-9000. You can email your questions into studio at WDAYradionow.com. Good morning to you, Jill.
Good morning.
So I had a neighbor ask me, and I gave him my answer, but I'll ask the expert about picking off the little tiny suckers at the bottom of tomato plants. I said, yes, you pull those off because the fruit doesn't get as big if you don't. Is that the reason why we pull those off? Or?
Yeah, we do pull suckers off tomatoes because it does put more energy into the fruit production than leaves. So, yes.
Jason's okay. Talking to me. He goes, what do you mean, little suckers? Why they're little tiny like branches, basically.
Oh, okay.
So there's some at... Yeah, so there's some at the bottom, but also where you see like a normal branch going up and then one going out to the side, sometimes there'll be one in the middle, mm-hmm. and that one you want to prune out.
They're just like smaller shoots.
Yeah, so, yeah. But I mean, you kind of, in a sense, you want to do that sometimes with your trees too, don't you? You want to trim off the little branches that are lower so that way it continues to grow up and out, et cetera, right?
Yeah, the branches, well, it depends on what tree. So
right.
A lot of trees... So, like, lindens, maples, like crab apples, they do sucker a lot mm-hmm. at the base, and that's kind of how they reproduce. So, taking those off is just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's less energy concentrated
sure.
there.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not absolutely necessary, but mm-hmm. it can kind of get in the way, especially if it's, like, on a boulevard or in your yard, and you have all these other extra branches.
Shooting off, and I've yeah. seen everywhere. That before.
Mm-hmm. But,
yeah. So I guess I do have a question. I noticed yesterday, and my wife, she's planted a lot of zinnias, and she's mm-hmm. got some straw flowers, too. I think that's what mm-hmm. they're called. And those are doing great. The zinnias that she planted on this one little section of the backyard, doing great. Very tall, all flowering right now, and they're a pretty hardy flower. She loves sunflowers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got a number of those planted in the yard. We've got some in a planter up on the deck. We've got a couple of different big pots that have sunflowers in them. And I noticed on the ones that were in the corner catch a lot of sun, especially towards the evening. And the ones that are in the plant or in the potted pots over there on the patio, they were all really, especially the leaves, looking really droopy. The one on the planter on the deck, didn't seem too bad. And I don't know if there's just simply more dirt in that planter because it's a bigger one.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to sunflowers, is it better to plant them in an oversized pot, or should they be planted in the ground? Are they going to not last as long if they're put in a, you know, I don't know, try 2 foot by 2 foot wide pot? I mean, is there something to be said about getting the sunflowers at least more dirt to thrive in?
Yeah, there are shorter sunflowers that probably be more appropriate for like a container that
yeah,
size.
And they're not the huge ones. They're not the, I don't think they're dwarf, but they're kind of the mid-range ones. Okay. So they're not the huge ones.
They do have a pretty big, extensive root system.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, compared to other flowers.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, they probably are just drying out faster than okay. the ones in the ground.
But I was thinking with the cooler weather, a lot of times, especially the plants that we have in our front yard, at the end of the day when they catch that evening sun, it gets real warm, especially in the summertime, mm-hmm. and they really kind of droop. And then when the sun goes down, the next morning comes around, they're kind of perked back up because the temperature has cooled off and they're not kind of overheating. So
yeah, that will happen with plants. Tomatoes are one of the biggest, they'll do that most. They'll wilt and look like they need water, but really it's just kind of a reaction to the heat. Cucumbers will do that too. And then once the sun goes away,
they kind of perk back up.
Yeah.
When it comes to planting seeds, and maybe I know that my wife has had some seeds that she's had for at least over a year. And now sometimes you want to take the seeds from your plants this summer and save them to plant next spring. Mm-hmm. Is there a window, like, you know, I mean, now granted, you talk about food, it's best buy date on the package when you buy food. Is that similar to seeds when you have them, if you keep them too long?
Yeah. Generally, after 5 years, the seeds are probably
not particularly viable.
Yeah. So this isn't like a scientific research quote, but
just your experience. I think after
a year, germination goes down by like 10-20%, depends on the variety. So if you had 90% germination, the next year you might have 80 or 75 of those seeds
might actually
of that 100%
germinate.
So generally after 5 years, I'd just
toss
them. You probably won't have.
What's a pack of the seeds cost nowadays?
Not much.
$3-4 or is it less than that? More
the
than
heirloom
that?
Ones are more expensive, but yeah, $2, $3
Something like that.
I think you can sometimes find the cheaper ones, like at the Dollar Tree. They'll have some seeds there, but.
But are those as good?
They might be. They quite honestly, I would assume they're probably older. I mean, I think a lot of times stuff ends up at Dollar Tree that just doesn't get sold at other stores, but I'm completely wrong on that.
Well, technically, seeds can't be sold after. So they can only be sold for the year, that calendar year.
Yeah, because when my mom and dad ran the greenhouse, they had a display thing, burpees or whatever it was, and then I believe that they had to mail the leftover seeds that didn't sell back to the company. I don't know if that's still a thing, but
usually that's like a deal with the company. They'll get some money back if they send the seeds back sometimes. Otherwise, if you are out there and you sell seeds and you're looking to get rid of them, a lot of people will take those donations because they can use them again.
There you go. Well, and it's the company's reputation, right? If somebody gets their hand on old seeds and they didn't know they bought old seeds and they don't germinate, the company's going to take a hit there. Mm. I wanted to ask because I'm out walking a lot and I'm going to guess this tree was like, and I don't know what it was, what kind of tree it was, but it was probably like 8-10 years old based on, you know, the size of it. And on top of the ground, I could see so many of the roots. Was that something that was improperly planted? And can you fix that now? And should you add more dirt to it? Not that I'm going to go knock on these people's doors, but I felt sad for all those tree roots that were on top of the ground.
Likely it's a tree that prefers to have more surface roots. So maples prefer that.
Oh,
crab
that's
apples
a thing?
Prefer that. Yep. They like to have their roots more towards the top.
So it wasn't necessarily an improperly planted tree. I've never seen that many roots up above ground like that.
Sometimes trees will do that if they're planted too deeply to just access more oxygen in the upper. Most tree roots grow in the upper 12 inches of the soil. So it could have been that, but likely it was a tree that prefers.
And you're right. It probably was something like a maple. I saw it a few weeks back, and so it wasn't like a pine tree or anything like that. Maple would make sense. I'm still seeing trees with broken limbs from winds that have moved through, and they might be kind of high up. Is that harming the tree if somebody doesn't like find a tree trimmer and chop off, take those branches that are dead up high out?
It can. If it's a big tree, it could cause more damage, or like a big limb could cause more damage. If it's not properly pruned, then the tree has a harder time to close that wound.
Yeah.
If it's just broken in a random spot.
Well, and if that you know, branch or whatever is broken in a random spot, is there an increased likelihood of some type of infection, you might want to call it, something to harm the tree because it gets in through that break?
Yep. Yeah, so that same concept where if it's pruned at a branch collar, then the tree can close that wound. But if it's kind of a random break somewhere, it can't. And so decay can get in there.
So when it comes to stuff like that, it seemed like back in the day you would see trees that they would be have a branch or something cut off and they had some type of paint or some type of sealant. Mm-hmm. Do arborists still do that, or is that something you don't have to do?
No, it's not recommended to use that sealant anymore.
Oh, interesting.
And I've been seeing this, like, when I'm driving in not too far away from here. People sometimes, like, put, I don't know, plastic or rubber around their trees when they're young. In my experience, it was, like, to keep rabbits or whatever away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to see some where these trees are growing and growing and growing and that stuff is splitting. Should you remove that plastic or whatever you're using to cover your tree at some point?
So the tree protector tubes, kind of like drain tile looking, that is good to keep on in the wintertime. If you have small young trees and rabbits and other things, you can take it off in the summer. Those have, you know, are open on one side. So essentially you could leave them on. They just open as a tree.
Right.
But I've seen some of those grow into the tree well. So after, you know, you can't find, you have to take them off, or even those like support straps get left on and then they run.
I see that too. Yeah, after what, 2 years or something, or
really
three
after
years,
a year.
After
yeah,
a year,
I think we left the support straps in our tree for many years. And granted, we didn't have any issues with it. You know, the strap growing into the bark of the tree or anything. But I mean, it was like I remember talking to either Don or you, and it's like, oh, you can take it off after a year, and you're like, oh, we've had it on there for like 4 years, so yep. I'm just trying to make sure it stays straight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes people will leave them on, and then those stakes get grown into the tree or too much into the roots because it's gotten so big, and it's just hard to get them out. Yeah. So after a year, you can take them off.
All right, Jill, if our listeners have any questions for you, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can call the office at 218-299-7338 or send me an email at patri350@umn.edu.
Excellent. Thanks for your time this morning.
Yep.
Jill Patry, Clay County Extension Horticulture Educator, joining us here on Bonnie and Friends Lawn and Garden Radio. We do it every Thursday right around 7:10. Mr. Kinsler will be in next week. Oh, a bull riding practice clinic. Is that something maybe you want to take part in, Mr. Jace?
That one I might pass,
pass on
just, just based on previous injuries.
Yeah, there you go. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel will have details on that straight ahead.
7:25, we head out to the farm to talk to our ag director, and I guess we can get some practice riding the bull.
You could. Are you busy on Tuesday nights, and would you like to drive to Phillips, South Dakota?
Oh, that's a long ways.
That sounds like it's going to hurt. I rode a mechanical bull before,
Do you know where
bull.
Phillips, South Dakota is?
Far, probably.
Yeah, it's off the interstate in like the middle of the state.
I'm not concerned about the drive.
I'm concerned about the ride of the bull. It's probably a bull that's not quite the worst of the worst when it comes to trying to ride it, right?
Probably not, because this is a teaching clinic that happens on a weekly basis. Mm. Cooper West is from the Phillips area, and he partnered up with some friends of his, including Joe Wishart, and they decided they wanted to get back into a tradition of helping coach new and young riders. So they see about 10 to 30, depends on the night, young cowboys ranging from junior high through college age. And they came out. Joe brings a nice set of starter horses so they can do some bronc riding, but there also can be some bulls there. They've got stock contractors that come on out to make sure that there's some good horses and some good bulls that can be ridden. You have behind the chutes former bronc riders that are helping with their setups. You have in the front of the chute a veteran pickup men who are also training some of those newer pickup men who might be out in the arena to make sure that nobody gets hurt. And they have a great night. They practice, they learn, and they enjoy that time together. Mm. So just when you thought all you got to do is grab some gear and get on that animal,
no.
You can actually go to some practice sessions
to
learn more.
That's awesome.
I think that's a great way to pass on their tradition and learn.
Yeah.
I really think they're doing a nice job.
The pickup people, I guess, you would just simply call them the rodeo clowns in training?
Not quite. They're not necessarily clowns. When you think about watching rodeo, you often see cowboys on horses in the arena. They've got long shafts on, and they are there to make sure if you get hung up in the gear or if you are squished between that animal and the corral, et cetera, that they're there to grab you and pull you free if at all possible. Mm. The clowns are in the arena to distract the animal. Mm. They will help, and they will throw a cowboy behind him to protect him as well. But pickup men are typically on horseback.
On horseback. Mm. Okay.
Ready to help.
All right. Cool. Gotcha.
Yeah. So this wildfire smoke we've talked about, first of all, devastating to what's happening in Canada.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those folks are really suffering under air quality. They've lost homes, towns, farms, cropland, forest areas, so much more. But we're also finding that it's pretty stressful to calves, as much so as when they're being weaned. Mm. So there's studies that have been done recently out in Oregon State, and they show that when you have animals that are in about a week's worth of smoke, that studies show they have increases in stress hormones like cortisol. Also, they have elevated levels of hormones that can last for up to a week. So instead of producing meat or milk, calves are spending their energy on their immune response, and their feed intake really stagnates during that smoke exposure. Hmm. Just like we do, they'll cough, they'll gag, they've got runny noses. Yeah. They can even get so far as disorientation and stumbling around. So the smoke effects are just as important on what's happening with our livestock as it can be on any one of us as well.
Is there significant risk for the health of the more mature cows and bulls, et cetera, as opposed to just the calves? Because obviously the calves are in development. You don't want them to intake in a bunch of smoke because obviously that could maybe stunt their growth, et cetera. But what about the moms and dads of those calves? I mean, are they, you know, exhibiting similar signs? Do they have similar problems, et cetera?
I think they are. I think the reason that this study was done in the calves was because, as you said, you're thinking about the younger, more developing animal. But I think it's just as stressful on the older critters as well. And especially when you think about cows, if they need to be producing milk, you know, just like when mom is sick and she can't take care of the kids as well as she might normally, I think the same situation happens. And you know, when we saw the wildfires last fall in North Dakota, we had so much smoke, and also animals were closer to the heat. We still know that there are effects of lung damage, whether it's through pneumonia or scar tissue in the lungs as well. And so we can see that in all animals, the same as we did from our own wildfires here.
Sure.
Now, one last thing, horses, we see a lot of them out on the trail right now. They're going to shows, radios, rodeos. Not radios, rodeos. And then they're also just on the trail for riding and enjoying. But if you notice that your horses may have a really poor appetite, some weight loss, maybe even a poor hair coat or irritability, especially when you're trying to cinch them, they may have an ulcer. Horses can get ulcers too. And they have a two-part stomach. So the top is a squamous, as they call it, mucosal lining. That's really a nice light pink color. That can get the ulcer in it, and then the lower part of the stomach is more of a glandular region. You treat them slightly differently because of which one has acid, which one is more tender than the other, so to speak. But the only way to really look at this and diagnose it is to have an endoscopy done with a vet. So if you started noticing something in the animals that could be a problem, consider it could be an ulcer with them as well.
Never something thought of that. About.
Yeah. Usually the cause of it's usually their kids.
Isn't it always?
He's usually, definitely.
Happens to all of us.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, if you have any problems and questions like that, well, maybe you shouldn't let me know. But you can email me, ag@flagfamily.com.
What's coming up on WAG today?
Yeah, today we're going to have Steve Hansen. He is a farmer down at Oaks, North Dakota. He's on the North Dakota Irrigation Council. We don't think about irrigation in North Dakota very often. But Steve's got a passion for it, and we're going to hear more today.
All right, very good. Thank you, Bridget.
Talk to you soon.
You bet. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. It is 7:32. 7:33, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki serving up a lovely day for us today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We tied a record this morning, a 150-year-old record. We tied it at 43 this morning. That's the official low. So, yeah, it was a chilly start to the day, but we'll see a lot of sunshine to start off the day. And then we'll see a few clouds come in as we head into late afternoon. We'll have highs in the low to mid 70s and a south-southeast wind about 5 to 10. For tonight, showers and thundershowers with lows in the upper 50s and showers and thundershowers for the first half of the day on Friday. Highs only in the upper 60s, it looks like, tomorrow. And then the weekend looks nice. Upper 70s to near 80 on Saturday and low to mid 80s on Sunday. So another nice weekend heading our way after a chilly, chilly start to the morning this morning.
Well, as long as it gets better, that's all that really matters.
And especially over the weekend. Yeah. It's always nice to have a nice weather weekend, that's for sure.
There you go. All right, thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Weather is sponsored by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with three convenient Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can car more.
All right, we got a pair of tickets to give away. Sawyer Brown, they are at the North Dakota State Fair Wednesday, July 23rd. If you can use those and you haven't won anything in the past month, be caller 5 right now, 701-293-9000. Caller 5, Sawyer Brown, North Dakota State Fair in Minot, Wednesday, July 23rd. Good luck to you all. And congratulations. Tip has won those tickets to Sawyer Brown. We have one more pair of tickets. It's to Luke Bryan. And Luke is at the North Dakota State Fair in Minot Saturday, July 26th. If you want to win those, keep on listening for an opportunity. Right now, we check out your WDAY Radio Sports with big game James McCarty.
Timberwolves found themselves in a 32-16 hole after one quarter of play in Vegas yesterday in Summer League. They would then chip away 6 points, outscoring Phoenix in the second quarter, outscoring them by 8 in the third, and then outscoring them by 6 again in the fourth, and they would get a 89-85 escape victory to improve to 4-0 in Summer League play yesterday, late afternoon. Rob Dillingham with 23 points, 7 assists. Leonard Miller with 22 points, 11 rebounds. Terrence Shannon Jr. out due to rest yesterday. Wolves find out their fate later tonight on if they will be in the semifinals or if they'll just get a fifth game in Summer League this weekend. Minnesota Lynx began a 5-game homestand yesterday afternoon with a victory against the Phoenix Mercury, 79-66. Caleb McBride, the newly named All-Star, powered Minnesota with 18 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. Courtney Williams also chipped in 12 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists in the win as Minnesota improving to a league-best 20-4 record on the season. Before they continue this homestand, they will be off this weekend for the WNBA's All-Star Weekend that will take place in Indianapolis, home of the Fever, with the All-Star game on Saturday night at 7:30 on ABC. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks edging out the Kansas City Monarchs 4-2 Wednesday night. Jake Dykoff gave up 2 runs over 7 innings, earning the victory. Parker Harm, Garrett Alexander each toss and shutout innings in the win. Michael Hallquist stealing home plate, and the Redhawks trying to go for a 4-game sweep this afternoon at 12:30 at Newman Outdoor Field.
How much does it cost to replace home plate?
I don't know. It's not my problem. I don't know.
Do they have insurance to cover that?
I would assume it is like a burglarization of it. I don't know.
Well, we know who did it. Have they called the authorities?
No, I don't think they did. I think because it was the home team guy. You know?
So they just let it slide.
They just let it slide.
That sets a bad precedent. You can just steal home plate and then you're just like, whatever, he's on our team. We don't care.
You know what? If we win, he can steal home plate every night for all I care.
I guess. But that's going to run up the cost of tickets because you got to replace
home
plate every
time. $100 a piece, I'm sure. I just don't know how he stole it. Those things are like 3-4 inches deep into the dirt.
Into the ground. They got spikes on them.
It's not the norm, though. I mean, you don't always.
No, and especially nowadays, no. It's very rare nowadays. Like, the last one I can recall was Javi Baez, like the 2016 playoffs for the Cubs. I'm trying to think of the Twins had, Willie Castro, Nick Gordon. One of them stole home plate. I don't remember if it was last season or two seasons ago.
I would assume you probably didn't necessarily see the highlight of it last night, but did he just steal it on a pitch or was there a double steal?
He was kind of doing the nonchalant. He was looking around, took a couple steps towards home. The pitcher looked like he was disinterested of sorts, and he just broke for home plate, and he actually had to do a swim move out and around the catcher to slide in and touch the plate, and the manager for Kansas City came out yelling, "You don't know what you're looking at. You're wrong." And then he proceeded to kick a line where he was tagged, even though it was odd because their manager, all he could see was the tail end of his catcher from based off of the angle that they had. If you know how it works, the first base dugout's the road team at Newman Outdoor, and he avoided the tag from the left-hand side of home plate, which is the third base side, which means that with the umpire standing there, the catcher trying to tag and the runner trying to swim, the manager really cannot see much of anything. He just has to rely on his catcher who said, "I tagged him."
Yeah.
And the umpire said, "You did," after he scored. And the manager said, "No, it was beforehand." And regardless, the Redhawks won. They'll go for a sweep at 12:30 today.
There you go. A nice 4-game sweep would be awesome.
It would be tremendous. They're 32-30 now, the Redhawks. Yep. So they're back above 500, playing some good baseball. as we are only a weekend away from the All-Star break.
Well, I think if I'm not mistaken, overall, I think the Redhawks have had the Monarchs' number so far this year because I believe they had a three-game sweep of them early on in the season on the road.
Which is interesting because the Monarchs are 12 games above 500. What are they, 37 and 25,
are the Monarchs leading the division?
They were a half game back of Sioux City, I believe.
One of the Sioux.
Yeah, yeah. Sioux from down south.
Yeah, but I mean, it's interesting because it's funny how you sometimes you just simply match up well against a team, and you know, it's like, well, they're one of the best teams in our division, yet you know we're under 500. So good. Hopefully, they get that sweep today.
It'd be tremendous. And primetime sports at 6:30 tonight. We'll look into some controversies, mostly former Vikings quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. And what's the word that they used? What was the word that you used? Not impartial.
Improper.
No, not improper. It was more fancy.
Fancier than us?
Very fancy. We're like, you know.
Impermissible?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. That's a big word that I don't really know.
Okay, we'll go with that.
That was like the first word of the sentence or of the article. And I'm like, huh?
I saw it online somewhere. I don't know.
Impermissible. I'm like, did we get a definition, please?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Can you spell it?
743. No. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, your 3-degree guarantee coming up next. Country girls, shake it for him. You want to go to Luke Bryan.
Happy birthday, Luke.
It is his birthday. Yeah. If you want to go to Luke Bryan at the North Dakota State Fair in Minot on Saturday, July 26th, be caller 3 right now,
701-293-9000.
Looking for caller 3, Luke Bryan, next Saturday, North Dakota State Fair in Minot, 701-293-9000. And congratulations to Jackie. She picked up our final pair of tickets, Luke Bryan, at the North Dakota State Fair. However, you never know. More tickets could splash on my desk, and we might have more to give away, so we'll see. But
why would it splash on your desk? What do you? I told you not to leave that bucket of water there.
Yeah, I know. Brad's messy. He comes in and drops them on my desk.
It's Brad's fault.
Speaking of Brad, he also dropped off yesterday. I walked in this morning, and there's a bunch of wristbands to give away to Summer Blast at the Moorhead American Legion benefits, North Dakota, Minnesota Honor Flight.
Is that this weekend?
That's next weekend, next the 25th and 26th. So if you want to win those wristbands, or two-day wristbands, be listening for an opportunity to win those. All right, Mike Saki's here with a check on our forecast. Good
I want a wristband. No, he's not checking for our forecast. This is our 3-degree guarantee.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
I want a wristband for next weekend.
Well, I'm not giving you one.
3-degree guarantee one. Brought to you by the window and door store, you know. Yes. Come on. Nope. Pay attention.
I'm not going to you.
He's whining and you're yelling at him.
What? He doesn't need to whine. He's got nothing to whine about. He's not even going to be here.
Yeah, you're not even going to be here.
I'll be here next weekend. Not this weekend.
But you won't be around for free tickets, so that's too bad.
Ouch. Ouch.
Yesterday you predicted 69 on your 3-degree guarantee. How did you do?
We hit 68 yesterday. So right there. I told you to bet the mortgage on it.
Yeah, you say that every time, though.
So you're 6 in a row, but you're leaving after today, aren't you?
So this one is not going to be correct, folks, so don't put it in. set it in stone.
I will bet the mortgage on today.
You've done that before and missed a mark.
74 is what we're going to go today. With light winds out of the south-southeast and mostly sunny sky. Clouds increase. We'll see showers and storms after dark tonight. Upper 50s and then upper 60s. We're going to go 69 tomorrow with showers and thunder showers for the first half of the day at least. Mm. And then the weekend looks good. About 79 or 80 on Saturday and low to mid-80s on Sunday. So not a bad-looking weekend. But today's three-degree guarantee, 74 degrees.
All right. And that is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
This is crazy. I never would have thought it being labeled this, but something has been labeled a health crisis over in Minnesota Lakes Country, and we will tell you what it is coming up next. Seventy-four degrees, sunshine, lovely start to the downtown street fair in Fargo. That kicks off at 10 this morning, 10 to 9 today and tomorrow, 10 to 5 on Saturday. Our news partners over at Valley News Live have a story that swimmers itch being labeled a health crisis in Minnesota Lakes Country. And Jace asked me during the break, what's that? It's just like, if you've ever had it, it's like itchy. It's like if you just take
like mosquito bites. It's not that big though, and it's just like like chiggers, we always called them, and it's just, they get under your skin, and it just
you scratch,
they're like red welts, and sometimes you need antibiotics to cure it.
If you would have said chiggers right away, I probably would have been more familiar. I've heard that term before. My dad has used it in the past, but we do have obviously a lake by my hometown because that's what the town is named after, but it wasn't meant for swimming. So, I mean, there might have been some times we might have got in the lake a little bit or something, but it wasn't cleaned out for swimming. But it wasn't obviously any issues like that. But there are certain lakes, and quite honestly, you have to either has to have enough of a turnover of the water, if you want to call it that, recycling of the water somehow, like even with a stream coming in or going out, to keep it kind of fresh, or you have to go through and you have to dredge the lake to try and pull up some of the weeds and some of the other stuff to make it viable for swimming.
I don't know. This is what I've always heard, and I don't know. I guess I've never Googled to see if it's factual, but it's like a parasite that's carried by ducks. So if you're in an area where there's ducks, that's where you're going to get swimmer's itch. I've heard people for months now talking about swimmer's itch on lakes over on the Minnesota side already. Like in early June, people were saying there's swimmers itch around. The Pelican Lake Swimmers Itch Task Force, I guess it's a thing, says the infestation is impacting Pelican Lake and many other lakes in Otter Tail and Becker counties. They say this year's strain of swimmers itch is 45 times more severe than usual, has already caused multiple emergency room visits, including one preteen who went into anaphylactic shock.
No kidding.
And they're going to have a meeting at Fair Hills Resort 9:30 Saturday morning to discuss findings and the next steps. If you want to read more about that, swimmer's itch labeled health crisis in Minnesota Lakes Country, you can go to valleynewslive.com. There is another one that caught our eye, and it's not swimmer's itch, but bird-related. One of the Twin Cities suburbs, Mendota Heights, there's a lake in town there, and residents are looking for solutions. It's considered one of the dirtiest lakes in Minnesota due to high amounts of phosphorus, and it's coming from migrating cormorants. They're to blame for their droppings, their poop that's going into that. It looks gross.
It looks kind of really greenish and yucky water. Yeah, but they said part of the reason is the simple fact that the lake has risen by 16 feet over the last decade or something, two decades, whatever it was. And there's a lot of trees on the edge of the water then, since that water's moved, gone up and moved out towards the banks or whatever, that these trees have died. So you got these dead trees there, and the cormorants love
to
sit there and hang out. So obviously and since they're right over the water, then all that bird poop, and they're talking thousands of pounds, they're talking a big old truckload full of it.
I can't imagine
and
the smell.
water, like I said before, about lakes to go swimming in, the water doesn't really recycle. There's not fresh water coming in and some of the other water going out. So they've got a number of options talking about either trying to get rid of the birds, either by scaring them away or shooting them or whatever, or tearing down removing some of the trees where they like to, so that way less cormorants would want to go there. So you would almost think there's got to be a way to freshen up that water, and obviously it'd be nice to shoo away some of the.
It's going
to
take a long time.
It'd be nice to shoo away some of the birds for the poop reasons that's hurting the water, but at the same time, it's like it'd be nice if there was a way just to kind of get that water freshened up, so that way the cormorants could still come there and do their nesting. Because I'm sure overall, it's probably kind of nice to see all those birds there and nesting and hanging out, because they're stopping by on a trip going south.
Maybe
basically.
The easy fix too is remove some of those dead trees.
That's one of the options. I think
that's
they're going to lean towards
say.
That. Yeah,
14,500 pounds of cormorant poop in this lake in Mendota Heights, Minnesota.
And it's made it so you can't go get in the water. Yeah, obviously you could probably still boat on it, but I'm sure the water is probably still
living next to that lake. I mean, it's bad enough when I walk by some of the ponds where the geese are, and it smells. And when the wind's blowing and the fountain's going, it's horrible.
Well, they had interviewed one of the guys that bought a place around there, and it's like, well, we didn't know this when we bought the place, and it's just continued to get worse and worse because of the rise in the lake level and the dead trees and all the cormorants hanging out there on their trips to and from when they're migrating.
You're not going to believe who's buying up real estate in this country. We'll talk about it in Your Money in Markets coming up next. 7:58, checking out Your Money in Markets. Opening bell rings this morning after stocks finished the day higher on Wall Street yesterday. At the close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 231 points. S&P 500 rose by 19, and the NASDAQ was up 52. Coming out today, we get a look at retail sales data,
along with first-time requests for unemployment benefits. Bit of an increase from 227,000 initial jobless claims to 234,000 is expected. And tomorrow brings word on housing starts, building permits, and consumer sentiment.
I have a certain sentiment for you.
Whatever.
A strike by sanitation workers at Republic Services has a Northern California leader declaring breach of contract. Fairfield Mayor Catherine Moy sent a letter to the company threatening to seek damages if trash pickup doesn't resume. Moy also says garbage piling up is also becoming a public health issue. The strike started in Massachusetts when hundreds of workers in Greater Boston and the North Shore walked off the job July 1st. California, Washington State, and Ohio are now also seeing garbage collectors hit the picket lines in solidarity. Contract talks are also continuing this week. Even if an agreement is reached soon, trash collection might not resume the same day and could even resume with modified service.
Remember the big controversy up in Grand Forks about Fufeng, Chinese company that wanted to build an egg processing plant that was really close to Grand Forks Air Force Base, and then they said, no, not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Real estate investors from China are the largest group of foreign buyers of residential property in the U.S., according to the National Association of Realtors. Chinese clients purchased nearly $14 billion worth of homes in the U.S. between April of 2024, March of this year. That's an 83% jump from the previous year. They don't mention commercial property in this story. It's just, you know, real estate, homes and stuff. California topping the list of states with 36% of all residential transactions completed by Chinese nationals. That's more than any other foreign group.
Is that just considered then individuals or those investment firms that just know that property in the U.S. is a good investment?
I don't know.
I mean, you're always worried about them, you know, like having something too close to the Air Force Base, etc. That makes sense. But, I mean, sometimes you never know. Maybe it's just simply a good investment to invest in real estate
maybe.
In this country. And maybe that's something we need to get into.
Maybe.
Bonnie, give me your credit card.
I don't think you have enough to buy a house with it.
If I use your credit card, I will.
Okay. 8 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 8:02, time now to check out our forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
And we've got a nice one in store today. We tied a record low, 150-year-old record we tied this morning at 43. And we're going to rebound nicely from that. We'll make it up to 74 today with a lot of sunshine and light winds. Tonight we'll see showers and thundershowers come in after dark. We'll drop down into the upper 50s, and then Friday, scattered showers and a few thundershowers with highs a little cooler in the upper 60s. And then the weekend looks absolutely beautiful. Partly cloudy both Saturday and Sunday with highs in the upper 70s to near 80 on Saturday and in the low to mid 80s on Sunday with another round of showers and storms coming in as we head into Monday of next week. So a decent looking weekend and a couple of chances for showers and thundershowers on both right before the weekend and right after the weekend. So that's timing it perfectly.
Yeah, it was nice to get a little break with from the upper 80s and into the 90s.
Yeah.
So a few cooler days is actually nice to catch.
Yeah, but man, this morning for a 150-year-old record, we tied. I wish we could have just beaten it, but this will still go in the record books today.
I love mornings like this. To me, like it's like shorts and sweatshirt type weather, not at work.
No, that's what fall's for, Bonnie. Not middle of July. Okay.
It's one day.
Yeah.
Stop complaining.
Don't be a baby.
Would ya? Jeez.
I mean, if it's 95 one day, then we have the right to complain, and you can say the same to us. It's only one day. You don't make
it's
a baby.
It's only one day. Yeah. Suck it up, buttercup.
Exactly.
Thanks, Dino.
You got it.
8:04, Flatland Music Flashback. That's going to be coming your way 6:56 tomorrow morning. We do it each and every morning here on Bonnie and Friends right around that time. It's brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. Coming up, we will be showcasing... Oh, looks like the Beatles, Def Leppard, Billy Joel, Sting. All that and more, Flatland Music Flashback tomorrow morning right around 6:56. It is 8:04, time for your national news from ABC. Then Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 8:08, Big Game James McCarty is here with your WDAY Radio Sports.
The Minnesota United fall into LAFC 1-0 last night. They're going to visit Portland on Saturday evening. They're still second place in the Western Conference as of right now. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks edging out the Kansas City Monarchs 4-2 Wednesday night. Jake Dykhoff with 7 innings, giving up 2 runs, earning the victory. Parker Harm and Garrett Alexander each with shutout innings in relief. Michael Hallquist scoring twice, including stealing home plate, while Dylan Thomas and Hunter Clannon also scored in the victory. Redhawks and Monarchs will wrap up their series at 12:30 when the Redhawks look to try and get the sweep at Newman Outdoor Field. Minnesota Lynx taking down the Phoenix Mercury 79-66 on Wednesday, where they began a five-game homestand. Caleb McBride, the newly named All-Star, would lead Minnesota with 18 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists, followed by Courtney Williams, 12 points, 7 rebounds, and 5 assists. Minnesota improving to a WNBA best 20-4 record on the season. The All-Star game this weekend will take place in Indianapolis, with tip-off on Saturday night at 7:30 on ABC, with Minnesota's Caleb McBride participating along with Nafisa Collier, who is a captain of one of the All-Star teams. And the Timberwolves, after trailing 32-16 in summer league action against the Phoenix Suns last night, they would outscore Phoenix by 20 points the final three quarters and get a victory 89-85, led by Rob Dillingham's 23-point and 7-assist performance. Leonard Miller would have a double-double with 22 points and 11 rebounds. Terrence Shannon Jr. was in street clothes due to rest, and the Wolves will find out their fate for summer league later on this evening when the rest of the pack ends up finishing up summer league to see where they fall in the point differential totals. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. Jason and I will get you up to speed on the local sports scene.
This is funny. One of the stories that came across yesterday. Well, the boys are going to be gone. Vikings training camp later this month, and then Monday the 28th. I might need a co-host. Probably need a co-host. So I've been trying to talk Milos, my son-in-law, into coming. I don't know. Do you think the people would be able to understand me? It's like, Milos, I understand you just
fine. I like to do the morning talk show.
Yes. So what kind
of serve the show talk to the morning, not the morning talk show.
That's how it is. I've said we can talk about shrimps because he puts an S on the end of shrimps all the time, and then he thinks we in America talk.
Oh, I thought maybe he was going to do like, you know, Bubba Gump there.
No. Shrimps. I'll take two shrimps, please. It's just like shrimp. It's shrimp, and it's not deer.
Jumbo
deer.
Shrimp, gumbo shrimps.
So he's wondering, like,
you tell him about the bisons?
No, I haven't gotten to that one yet. But he's wondering, like, well, what did we talk about? And I'm like, well, just, I don't know. We just monkey around on Bonnie and Friends, basically.
You banters.
I find things to talk about that might be interesting, and then we talk about it. So one of the stories I came up with is British chefs cook up world's largest Scotch egg. He's like, what is that? We have eggs and we have scotch. It's two different things. So I was trying to explain to him what a scotch egg is. You two know what a scotch egg is. Tell me you know what a scotch egg is.
I've heard the term before. Is it
it's
something?
Been a while.
Isn't it a hard-boiled egg something?
With sausage around it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then you bread it, and then you deep fry it, and they are so delicious. Sometimes people like dip them in aioli or whatever you want to dip them in.
How about some salsa?
You're so weird with salsa.
Oh, like, come on.
You get everything weird with salsa. Not on my eggs, no.
I love salsa on my
eggs.
Not
on a scotch egg. You're just wrecking the whole thing with
maybe
salsa.
At least some hot sauce if you don't have picante.
I don't know. Just themselves. Scotch eggs are absolutely delicious.
Yes, whatever.
So I see two British social media chefs teamed up to cook the world's largest scotch egg. Weighed 17 pounds, 3.48 ounces.
And how would they use a dinosaur egg?
No, I was going to say,
they don't have those anymore.
Did they use an ostrich egg?
They did use an ostrich egg. Ding, 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 ding.
I didn't know, boys. Because sometimes, James, do you remember those videos where they would take and they would make something, whether it's a deep-fried piece of chicken, right? And then they would rebread it and fry it again until it gets to be this huge, like,
giant
ball.
Yeah, they'll do it four or five times, yeah.
More than four or five times. They'll do it, like, 40 times if they can. So I didn't know if it was a situation like that where they took a hard-boiled egg and they breaded it and did deep fried and they kept breading it and deep frying it to make it bigger and bigger.
So basically they had to use some, like, stainless steel bowls to put the sausage in, you know, to make sure. And then they made a little pocket and then they had hard-boiled the ostrich egg. And they're really good size. My mom had one that she...
Yeah,
painted on for her Ukrainian Easter eggs one time. So they're about the size of a cantaloupe, let's say.
Yeah.
So they hard boiled that. They put it in the sausage mix, and then they had their breading mixed up. And after they got it, you know, wrapped with the sausage all around the egg, then they rolled it in their seasoned breadcrumbs and whatnot, and then they deep fried it.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
the first time they did it, it fell apart, so they had to try again. Good thing they have ostrich eggs at the ready over there. Apparently,
I guess,
And then they sampled it and shared it with people. Then they cut it into small portions and used it to make breakfast burritos. Now we got cheese.
Now we can put salsa on it.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit of cheese sauce, too, with it at that point. Yeah.
Scotch eggs are delicious. They used to have them at the Boiler Room downtown.
Oh, yeah,
they're
right.
They're not doing their own food
that's,
now.
That's
in
Detroit
Deli. I learned that the hard way. I went there for brunch like 3 weeks ago.
But Detroit Deli, that's good,
and,
too. Did you get
so
that?
I should know. Was it Marge? I think Marge's Cafe, right? Is that
Diner downtown?
Downtown. Yeah, that's where we ended up going, yeah. Because I had a buddy. He's like, oh, man, the Boiler Room's got such good breakfast. And I was like, all right, let's do it after church then.
Yeah.
And we go there, and it's not open for like 4 more hours. And we looked it up, and we're like, oh.
Wait a minute. Do you listen to this show? You're part of the show.
I am part of the show.
We clearly talked about this about 4 months back.
If you're, when you say, oh, they don't have it anymore, I kind of tune out. And I'm like, she's fibbing.
Yeah, it's kind of like.
Turns out that you were accurate, so no, I had to go get a different breakfast. It's all right, it's all right, because okay. Marge's was pretty dang solid.
Yeah, they are good, but Detroit Deli's inside Boiler Room serving up their food. I have not eaten I've seen people share it in Facebook groups, food groups that I'm in, so that's cool. All right, I wanted to talk about this, because this is a weird.
Time to get serious.
All right, I had this story in our 5 o'clock news. There's a guy who killed his mom, dad, 14-year-old sister, 9-year-old brother with an axe in 1988 in Rochester, Minnesota.
He seemed like a nice guy.
No, he didn't. He was 16 years old at the time. His name is David Brom. He was sentenced to life in prison, which, that's where he should be.
For multiple murders, I mean, I think a minor
back.
Can be charged as an adult, I think.
That is true.
Yep.
However, he was given life in prison, happened in 1988, but there's a state law that was passed by the legislature in Minnesota in 2023, took effect last year, that removes life sentences for juvenile offenders. Exactly.
How many times is a juvenile going to be sentenced to life in prison? This is one of those rare times a juvenile is going to be sentenced to life in prison for murder.
Bludgeoned his family to death
with
an axe.
This isn't like you got sentenced to life in prison because you stole cars and set a mall on fire or something, and nobody was injured in it. You know, this is a multiple homicides. He was convicted of it. I mean, like you said, he did it with an axe. I mean, there was
you're not just usually not going to kill one person with one swing of an axe.
No, I mean,
especially adults, mom and dad. There had to be
axes. We've talked about mass shootings and mass casualty events where it involves a gunman, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I told you that when you mentioned this story during the break, then I remember when I was in probably early high school or junior high, we had a bunch of guys had stayed overnight, and it was a birthday party. We watched a couple of horror movies. And I remember in this movie back from the 80s, they recreated, obviously it's not real, they created this scene where someone was murdered via axe. And to do 4 people that way, I mean, that's going to take some time, and obviously there's going to be screaming, so I don't know how he was able to do this to 4 family members without them either escaping or calling police and getting them in time. That is a horrific way to have a scenario like that play out by axe.
He is 53 years old. He has spent in his entire rest of
adult
his teenage
life.
Years and adult life in prison. He's going to be released July 29th to a halfway house. He will be on work release status, GPS.
I think that's an exception you just can't make. I mean,
I think the legislature needs to go back to work on this.
I mean, what exactly is the need for a law that says you can't sentence a juvenile to life in prison?
For such a heinous crime.
Yeah, I mean, is there any other situation besides a heinous crime that you would get sentenced to life in prison?
Probably not.
I mean, even if you were to money launder, $1 billion, you're not going to get life in prison. So, I mean, why would you allow someone that it's murdered multiple family members via axe in the 1988 murder, why would you allow them just to, you can go. We'll send you to a halfway house and make sure we're monitoring where you're at, and you're fine.
And I know they were discussing this in Minnesota a couple of years ago, but I can't remember all the particulars as to why they determined that life sentences wouldn't be allowed for juvenile offenders. Like I said, it was passed by the 2023 legislature, took effect last year.
Yeah, but it's another situation where, okay, so you make this new law, correct?
Yep.
All right. Well, then it should be from that point going forward. You shouldn't go and retroactively change people's sentences. You know what I mean? Normally when a new law, something like that comes up, it should be from that point going forward. you know, and that's, you know, you've got other, you know, cases, et cetera, grandfathered into the way it used to be. That's why he's in life in prison, because of that's what he was sentenced to at that time. It shouldn't go and retroactively change all those sentences, because what is an appropriate sentence then for a 16-year-old that committed, that had multiple homicides? I mean, what's an appropriate one, since you can't give him life in prison? Are they advocating for the death penalty for a 16-year-old if they kill four family members next time? I mean, what is supposedly the proper sentencing for a case like that?
I don't know. And to come out now at 53,
yeah,
he snuffed their lives out,
yep,
very brutally.
Mm-hmm.
And now he gets to live life. But he's been behind bars for, what, 35, 40, 37 years, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
How much life has changed, and it is even going to be able well, to survive on the outside?
You were, what were you? You were in college in 88. I was, at this time in 88, I was heading into my junior year of high school, you know? So, I mean, things have changed a lot, mm-hmm, in the past, you know, 37
and
years.
And who's paying for him to live on the outside? He's going to be working, he's going to be living in a halfway house. He's going to have
the government usually
work. Right. Is that fair?
Not really. I mean, granted, he's already costing us money by living in prison. I understand that, but I'm not advocating for the death penalty in this case, because that's not my job. But it just seems as though this doesn't make any sense. I mean, has he undergone psychiatric treatment for the last 38 years then? Or 37, excuse me, to make sure that nothing like... Because, I mean, obviously, I don't know what type of... items they have at this halfway house. You'd almost want to say you don't want anything sharp around him, because what if he goes off the deep end again at 53 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, is there going to be another situation like this? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. The Olmsted County Sheriff released a statement. It's very long. He was a deputy who responded to the Brom family home for a welfare check that day.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there was somebody wanted them to check on the father due to concerns from the school that the son, David, here, who we're talking, mm-hmm, about. There were some rumors going around school that David may have harmed his father. And then the sheriff, who was a young deputy at the time, of course, mm-hmm, comes into this. And like I said, it's a very long letter, and apparently he's been before appeals. There's been multiple things before a parole board. But the last part of it, he says, with that, Mr. Brom is benefiting from leniency twice for mutilating four people, mm-hmm, his family members, including two younger siblings, Diane and Ricky. They were the 14 and 9-year-old. They could be parents. They could have been, mm-hmm, productive members of our society, never given the chance due to, yep, Mr. Brom's selfish, immature 16-year-old actions.
Yep.
He says, to Brom's credit and his understanding, the sheriff's understanding, is Brom has done remarkably in the various prison settings, has reached an understanding of the seriousness of his crimes. Brom has apologized to everyone involved, except for the dead people, of course. He is remorseful, the sheriff says. He can't stop what's already in motion, as we, the public, must trust the parole board's decision and must hope that Mr. Brom is ready for his transition in his life. He's very pleased to hear, but it's hard for him to accept and forget, yep, the sights and smell of what he saw that Thursday evening back in 1988.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I mean, the person, like I said, you might be in the prison system receiving treatment. You may have gotten much, much better and be a different person in essence than you were as a 16-year-old with obviously some mental health issues. But at the same time, the crime that was committed, it's hard to just say, okay, yeah, he's done his time and now he's due to come out and that's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he belongs outside.
No,
prison.
I don't think
but
so.
But I guess you have to abide by state law. That's what the legislature passed.
Yeah,
too, you
that's
know?
Why I said it shouldn't necessarily be retroactive. So.
Might that be something that goes back? One of our legislators brings it back in front of the legislature in light of this case here. We shall see. But
I know, but I mean, if there is ever a future case like this,
mm-hmm,
you know, multiple homicides, mm-hmm, by a minor. I don't know what the appropriate sentence is then, because if you can't give them life in prison because you don't want to take their life, are you going to sentence them to 20 years, to 40 years, and that's going to be good enough?
And we've seen violent crimes all across the country,
yeah,
committed by 15, 16, 17-year-old. Yeah. I think at those ages, you know, maybe, I don't know, 13, 14, maybe, I don't know, a little more waffle room, but I don't know. I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
We were talking about the Scotch eggs, and you like to put salsa on everything.
Yeah.
Chuck says there's nothing better than a fried egg sandwich on toast with a slice of Velveeta and salsa.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love salsa.
You could
switch it up and put
maybe some pepper jack cheese.
Fried egg sandwiches are delicious. I just like mine plain on toast, but I think they are delicious.
Yes. If you put the right things on them, if you make a breakfast sandwich with your fried egg, mm-hmm. or maybe little scrambled eggs that you just put in a little shaper so it's a circle, mm-hmm. and put some cream cheese on a bagel and have it on a bagel. Mm. So good.
Yeah, I'll keep the salsa for my chips.
Oh, come on, Bonnie.
Maybe on a baked potato.
Live a little. Try it once. You tried it when I told you put salsa with a mushed up avocado, and it's kind of a, you know, cheap, easy
guac. Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
I wouldn't steer you wrong.
No, I don't want to ruin my eggs.
Oh, come on, Bon.
Referring to Mr. Brom, who's getting out of prison for axe murder of his four family members, John says, Minnesota, will they give him his axe back upon release?
Man, I'll probably have to buy him a new one.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. I can't agree with that. I mean, you can't really change my mind about it either. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Same. Crazy.
Just like I can't change your mind about salsa on eggs.
No, that's not happening in my world. No, 8:24, we're going to be heading back to the American Ag Network shortly. Then Janae and Ronnie slide in from the Coffee Club. We find out what they have planned on today's show. 8:28, Coffee Club. Janae and Ronnie have arrived in studio. Good morning to the two of you.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
What a beautiful day going for the start of the downtown street fair. Could you ask for a better day? Sunny, 74, not too hot, sunny, dry.
It'll be perfect down there today.
Today's going to be definitely the pick day of the week.
Yeah, and then you got cruise night over at West Fargo tonight.
Oh, is that another
night for that too? You're not going to be overheated.
I missed that. Okay.
Yes, yeah.
Third Thursday of the month?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Forgot all about that. My goodness.
Busy. There's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm still trying to contemplate whether I want to golf tonight. I missed the last 2 weeks because we had our great grocery giveaway the week before. It was like 96 degrees or something.
Oh, here's Bonnie all serious about golf. And it's like, it's been 2 weeks. I don't want to go this week.
I know. And it's just like, I can just like text Lisa, say, hey, can you put me on a team? And she'll put me on a
team. And she'll be like, next time you're going to text and you're going to be like, you know what? You haven't shown up for 3 weeks in a row, Bonnie. We're not putting you on your team.
And then she sent out this long email with this new app now you can check on. But the email is like 100 pages long. It's like, I ain't reading that. I'll just text her and say, please put me on the team. She'll do that.
And she'll be like, no, request it on the app.
I cannot read long directions.
Just download the app and try it. You can figure it out.
She knows me well.
Is it a golf app?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. And then you can put your name in there and pick your team. I don't have time for this.
It's called Fours.
Yeah, F-O-R-E.
Fours. Yeah, so that way you can find your foursome.
I'm busy. Right. I'll just text her. I have her number. What are you guys doing on the show today?
Music on the Terrace tonight, Sweet Shots. And Layla Noel, she is actually from Bismarck. She'll be in with us today. So excited to meet her. Dumbest animals in the world.
Oh.
I find it funny for some reason.
What are you shrugging about, Ronnie?
Well, I was waiting for her to say men.
I think maybe that's sloth. Too easy. Maybe sloth. Yeah.
I didn't
sloth
say that
on the list, but I don't know. Maybe.
Panda.
Things Gen Z will never experience. Movie soundtracks that defined a generation. And historical facts that we believe are true, but they're not.
Ronnie's probably knows that. They,
well, there's a couple. There was one I know we talked about all the time. I mean, my folks used to, you know, don't drink coffee; it'll stunt your growth. You know?
I've been drinking coffee since I've been 10, and I turned out just fine at 5, 6, and 3/4. But
well, I didn't drink coffee until I was a parent, so I didn't grow to be 6'3" like I hoped. So.
Yeah, you could have been so.
And
much
now
smaller.
You moved up to espresso.
I know. Well, that got an IV of that stuff.
Yeah, right.
You may have lost an inch.
Maybe.
It happens.
Not off my head.
No, not off your head. We're in denial about that, but that's fine. All right, have a good show.
Thank you.
You bet. Stay tuned for the Coffee Club. That's straight ahead, Jace. Bounce.
Yep, you betcha.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow morning, 5 o'clock. Have yourselves a great day.